So I'm Chris.
Nope, that didn't work.
What? Motherfucker.
Because you cut out Barnabas 1 and some idiot, which was the best line I was going to say all night.
Yeah. And some idiot. So I'm introducing the Dark Goddess.
Okay, so it is recording now.
Oh, it's
well,
Chris.
Fantastic.
Barnabas 1 and some idiot.
Welcome to Dark Guidance. I'm Chris.
I'm cool.
And cut. And in three.
Welcome to Dark Guidance. I'm Chris. Holy shit. So as you can see, we brought back Colin.
And cut.
No, this is staying.
We're doing it live.
Fuck it.
Yep.
They can tell what's going on.
Yes.
Also, some coarse language in this podcast.
When is it not? I wasn't the first one to swear.
No. Victory! No, you were not. Not even close.
I usually am, apparently.
Oh, quite often. Anyway, there's Brian, there's Colin, and there's me. And throughout this clusterfuck of a cast, we have decided to talk about ADR.
Why?
Well, because ADR just dropped, which seems as good an excuse as any. But also, you guys are prepping for a Champions event at CanCon. I, sadly, will be overseas for that. But I have done a Champions event before. ADR in general just brings a lot of random shit to the table in some weird ways. And all up, it's as good as a topic as any for us to springboard into, you know...
Random segues about things that people don't need to know.
Exactly. Favorite books, for instance.
Sure.
So, to kickstart things, first of all, ADR has basically two forms. The form is... First one is in Masters, where basically you have a section of forecasters. If you pick these four casters in Masters as your pairing, you gain what is colloquially known as a sideboard. It effectively is 40 points of what are called specialists, which you can swap into and out of your list. There's some restrictions therein for those specialists. I think, for instance, they have to... You basically cannot break army rules. You cannot, I think, have the same character in specialists.
Yeah, and you can't have Iris 1
and
Iris 2.
Yeah, for instance.
It counts effectively as a part of your list, except that it doesn't count as points for bonus points in a theme list.
Yeah.
Also, you can't min a unit with specialists. You actually have to have the min and max units in your sideboard.
So it's the same as if you had written a 115-point list, and then you choose 75 points from that 115-point list.
Yep.
And you can't, like,
slightly awkwardly with the new... free point system.
Yes.
Which means technically your sideboard to start with always has to be exactly 40 points, but technically there's no rules in it saying that when you take models out to put them in, your sideboard technically grows when you're adding free models. It's really weird.
Yes.
So if you were to go from a 75-point list with a 40-point sideboard, you could end up with a 75-point list and a 45-point sideboard if you changed the way things work.
Yeah, based on free point values, because you've taken out some beasts, so you don't get as many free points. I don't know if that's technically legal. It's something I've been wanting to ask. But me and Affy, when we were looking at the rules briefly, couldn't find anything to say otherwise.
I believe because the general verdict is, as long as the 75-point list that you end up with is legal, you're good. And as long as the original 75-point and 40-point couple was good, you're good.
Indeed. Okay. For instance, that's how it works with the merc choices you're now allowed. For instance, say ADR sideboard you could theoretically have would be like... a 5-point merc, we'll call him Oren, and then every possible 5-point merc solo you could theoretically take, and you could swap them in and out.
No.
Not if you have a theme. So if you're in a theme, the 40 points counts. So the way it works, it counts as part of your list effectively, but it does not count for 3 points.
Right.
So that's the only exclusion. So if you're only allowed one merc, you can only one merc solo. You can then only have one merc solo. So either in 75 or in the 40, but it's. It is only in one of those two
that's
places.
That's why Affy and all the other merc players we've been talking to have found Lael awkward to build for.
Yeah.
The Lael theme for us. Because you can only take two units.
Yes.
From either Menoth or Signar. But then you can't put other Menoth units in your ADR.
Yep.
Or you can't take Signar units and put it in your in your sideboard to switch them out as required.
Yep.
Which would be incredibly powerful.
Yes.
But it does limit the ability for ADR to work in the Lael theme force because there isn't that much you can take once you've taken those out of faction.
Yeah, in the same way that if you had to make a 115-point list using the Lael theme force, you would run into that same problem, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd just have more free stuff.
Yeah.
You'd still run into the same issue of there are no more units that I can physically take because I've hit max FA on everything that I want.
Yeah.
If anything, that actually is a problem with the current Loyalty of Forces we talked last cast.
Well, speaking of... well, I guess we'll talk more about the Loyalty of Forces when we get to Merc's ADR.
Yeah.
Because Ashlyn and Gaston are on it and both want to see Lael, though Gaston, I think, has the option more to play in... What is the...
Irregulars.
Irregulars.
All right.
The tier list, the theme list that isn't a theme list.
Not a theme, the theme. In addition to using it for weird specialist choices, though, you can also use... ADR is also featured in a format called Champions, which is a limited format. This format has semi-replaced Hardcore and IG, so this format was not really that popular until it sort of...
Until it got forced to be popular.
Yeah.
Because they were like, well, there's no more IG any guys, so yeah, I guess you're playing Champions.
Exactly. But on the other hand, having played a Champions event, it's interesting what happens when you basically... When you have limited formats. Like, anyone who's played card games, which have had any kind of rotation, would know how it sort of changes the meta. And... Things that are, like, a lot of things that you think won't work in a regular event, they might not work. But when you start rotating things out, things get a bit weird. So I played with the previous ADR, which I won't go into that much, but one of the things that isn't in ADR, and for that matter isn't in this ADR as well, is, like, any Ghost Fleet. It isn't that you could go to a tournament and plan to not dodge a Ghost Fleet.
You know it's not going to happen.
It cannot happen.
It's 100% out.
So, when I played... There was like, oh, sweet, no Ghost Fleet. I didn't have to prep for that shit. Instead, I have to prep for fucking Kane 3, who's going to be everywhere, and Axis, and all these other Convergence players with their cocks. And the funniest thing was, we were talking about it initially as a joke,
casual
and then...
Casual cock.
Casual cock, inserting it here.
Jeez.
But yeah, the funniest thing was, on that day, this was at Iron Moot, we were basically discussing a bit in jest at first, and then with a gradual realization that this was no longer a laughing matter, was that one person was running Agathea in Ghost Fleet.
Yep.
And the joke was, oh, it's Agathea, ha 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 ha. And then we realized that no one actually could beat Ghost Fleet. Because no one had prepped for it. And it turns out a bad Denny 1 Ghost Fleet is still a Ghost Fleet player.
Yep. And it turns out that if you can't play any of your faction's actual answers to Ghost Fleet on account of the fact that you're in ADR,
yeah.
Then you're going to have a bad time.
Yes. Thankfully, someone dealt with that person, so I didn't have to deal with him. Or I would have probably had a good game of how do we kill Agathea with my S-list that probably wasn't really tech for assassination to begin with. But it's good luck.
How do we time out?
How do we time out? Yep.
That's not a terrible way to play into that sometimes.
It's true.
If you can limit your casualties without losing on scenario long enough, then them playing three units of Revenants does eventually grind their own clock down.
Yep. If you give them a lot of things to shoot at and your things are reasonably hard to hit.
If your things are hard to hit and you don't have Denny 1, you aren't able to modify their defense by 4.
If anything, I'm pretty sure that's
a little harder to kill them with
pirates. I'm pretty sure that's actually how said Agathea player lost was basically being like, now this is way harder to do than when they just crippling grasp and feed on them.
Turns out, crippling grasp, good spell.
Yes. But in any case, you'll notice that they're two complete.
That is such an. Oh.
Such a good spell. Really is.
That's an understatement.
That's a really good spell.
Yes. For given values of good, given highly inflated values of good.
Yeah. Bitcoin values of good.
Indeed. But yes, as you can see, though, that there are two very different uses for this very same list of forecasters. One is obviously as a sideboard, as sort of like a reward for playing a off-meta pairing. I use these in brackets because normally...
So we're talking about Masters again.
Yeah, Masters, whereas the second is Champions. And I was using the inverted commas, which you could clearly hear through my podcast over here, because if you look at some factions, they suffer no such drawbacks.
A faction.
Well, not quite, because one thing ADR does is it gives a leg up to a lot of the factions with less casters, namely most of the small factions, Convergence and Grimkin come to mind. And then there's Mercs.
Yes.
Literally a week after we do a Merc cast, we're like, oh yeah, we've talked about everything Mercs related.
Everything we could possibly want to talk about.
We then discovered that, well,
There's more!
But wait, there's more! Remember how we were marking, like, which casters were the best in Mercs, and we came to the conclusion it's General Awesome, and, like, Magnus is probably, like, fourth or fifth best caster, but, you know, he might break in there. Well, he's there. And you remember how cool Gaston was? Well, no one has an ADR quite like Gaston. So, Mercs...
Anyon's favorite.
Anyon's favorite, Ashlyn, because, of course...
So, Masters-wise...
Yeah.
Mercs, you think you could make a competitive pair using just ADR casters?
Quite comfortably. Quite comfortably.
Okay. Let's go from the top.
Okay.
Who could?
Let's go. So, Circle. Circle is Tanith, Chromac 2, Baldur 1, and Mossar. Which means, of course, yes, because before anyone gets into it, Colin can always make a pairing using Mossar. He always does.
I'm pretty sure the first three aren't bad casters.
They're not. So no. you can play Tanith, you can play Baldur 1, and you can play Mossar, I think. Mossar's pretty hard, but yeah. I think you can probably make an argument for a competitive pair out of... I personally would probably shoot for Baldur 1 and Tanith.
I was going to agree with Baldur. Baldur seems like the easy, like, cornerstone.
I mean, because, it's not Baldur 2, which people are more comfortable with
from a
cornerstone point of view. Tanith has been an off pick the circle for a while.
She's been a dark horse.
Yeah, she sits there as, like, fifth-ish she's in all, the caster
pool. Honestly, after...
And Chromac 2's just got star points.
Yeah, Chromac 2...
Which is a nice way of saying he looks like it'll probably work on paper, and then you get there on the table and you're like, at least I got star points. And everything's dead.
Who's got Wrathrock? Yeah. I do.
Who's got one thumb left and Wrathrock? This guy.
Yeah. Chromac has been helped a bit by the beast theme, except for the fact that, as every Circle player will lament, especially the ones on Facebook, they have to play Circle Beasts, and those beasts aren't the rock beasts. Baldur is helped a lot by basically either being able to play in the druid theme, i.e. the Celestial Fulcrum theme, or the rock theme, i.e. the other Celestial Fulcrum theme.
Yeah, I think you play Bones.
Yep.
I think you play Bones in at least one of the two lists, and honestly, the way Bones is at the moment, I think you probably just play it in both.
Yep.
Like, I think you're at the point where it's probably the better option to just play double Bones.
So one thing I noticed
just
with...
Just bone them all.
Just all the boners everywhere. But why not? We'll go there.
Speaking of boners...
Oh, that's...
Email what's down under at gmail.com.
Sign up to this... Email Woods Down Under for your...
Well, I mean, the next faction's cock, so...
Yep.
All right, fair enough. Good segue.
It was just... there, Colin!
You couldn't help but reach out and grab it, could you?
I'm not gonna lie.
So low hanging.
Mercs may have gotten all the aggro for having the most blatantly what the fuck list of ADR, but I think Convergence has, if not the second, then equally as bad. Because you'll notice it has Orion, Mother Directrix, Cintharion, and oh look, Axis! So, put in perspective, you have two of the three, I think, best TEP casters and Orion.
It's nice to see they finally gave up on Aurora.
Yes. They shifted that.
She needs some help.
Something.
She needs good infantry. Because
they nerfed her a bit coming in, and that didn't help. And then they didn't give her a theme that really works for her yet.
So Clockwork Angels just aren't that good. She is the lady who makes Clockwork Angels still
slightly
shit.
Slightly better.
Very slightly.
I agree.
They might get a thing for that.
I actually think if a character unit of Clockwork Angels will help, but that's neither here nor there. Convergence basically...
Solo could.
Yeah.
Don't know what you'd give it. Anyway, that's a conversation for another day. You're not going to be doing that for your Masters in the next couple of months, so if you are playing Masters, what are you playing? Double TEP with who?
Axis.
And then who's your second list? Is it double TEP with the other guy?
Possibly.
Ha! So, who would have thought? Jesus, the invention that these people have got.
Would you play double TEP with Synth?
Sure, why not?
No, you wouldn't.
Is there anyone in the game you wouldn't play double tap with?
Well, it's the best battle engine in the game.
Pick a caster. Nominate a caster that couldn't run double tap. That's our challenge. Please, email woodsdownunder at gmail.com with a nomination for best caster to play double tap and lose.
That's easy. Striker 2.
Why?
Because you'd overload and kill yourself.
No. You have to have the best, worst double tap caster.
Okay, right.
Anyway, moving along.
Right.
So, assuming that you can make a good pair with Cock, we think you can.
Quite comfortably. Basically, Axis is...
You're either playing Axis or...
Well, put it this way. Axis is the best caster in Cock to play taps.
Yeah. So you're playing Axis with double tap.
But you don't have to. You can play Galvanizer Spam instead.
But you're playing Axis with double tap.
You might
technically.
You might not. You might play a single.
You're playing ADR, yes. Which means you could play both.
Actually,
so you can play axe. In fact, actually, yeah, you're playing double tap in each one, no matter what, right? Because that's your sideboard for every single caster.
How many points? Is
they're like 18 points.
Then you're fine.
Yeah. So you're double tapping a solo on the sideboard.
Okay, guys, wait for this. This is Dark Guidance, hot new tech. What you do is you make an axis list, which is nothing but galvanizers. And the teps are in your sideboard. So your opponent thinks that, I was like, oh my god, what is this axis list? It's like, holy shit, it's like all the galvanizers. And then you're like, surprise, it's actually all the teps instead.
And I'm pretty certain here that it's going to get paired with Orion. Why?
Because he plays double tep really well?
Because every convergence player ever is screaming to play a caster that isn't one of the original players.
Yes.
Like, oh my god, what is happening?
What's happening?
My dreams are here and true.
What's happening is we're going to cut short that and move on to Crix.
Speaking of dreams.
And the dreams.
That's not dreams.
I know, isn't it? I mean,
they are the Nightmare Empire. And today.
Yeah.
No, it's not completely terrible, although I struggled to come up with a worse combination of four. No, that's
no,
not.
No.
So new Denny 2 is okay. There's no...
Talking to the mic.
Yeah, sorry, I was just checking to make sure that I was actually factually accurate before I said there's no Mortys on it at all.
No.
So you do have the new Denny 2, which some people really like, some people don't. You do have an option to play Ghost Fleet with either Agathea, Denny, or Terminus. All of those have been talked about as possible Ghost Fleet casters. I don't love them, but I can understand any of the three.
I can see both Agathea and Denny also playing in the Carapace theme.
Oh, you can play any of those four casters in the Carapace theme.
Yeah.
All of them will play Black Industries.
Maybe
what
not Terminus.
What does Terminus do for it?
Nothing, but you're playing Black Industries where you can't shoot Terminus because you'll put some little dudes around him, like the shitty stuff that's cheap.
And then you can't shoot
his jacks. And eventually Terminus is coming to your army, and you're going to have to do something about Terminus. And meanwhile, there's going to be a bunch of jacks. That's pretty much how Terminus works, right? Like, if you can't kill Terminus and he slowly gains on your army, then eventually you have to deal with Terminus. And if you can't, then you lose.
Well, I've been playing into Terminus Black, Terminus Ghost Fleet. That list is very good in SR 2017. Yep. It won't really, how should I put it? It's not exactly great at, like, actually killing people, unless they're, especially with the oncoming potential nerfs to Ghost Fleet. Dropping its melee power, but my god, does it play some strong scenario game. And again, if you try and overcommit to it, this time there's Terminus behind it, as well as some, like, fucking... The most tilting thing, I think, I've ever had to play against is a fucking tough Wraith engine. If they actually make that tough check, and they can make that tough check, by the way, before you ask, you feel so terrible, especially if it's an incorporeal Wraith engine, because what the fuck are you going to do to force a second tough check? And you certainly can't knock it down... Brian,
Brian's having a minor stroke in the background. Tough Wraith engines are not something Brian was ready for.
Tough Wraith engines are literally nightmare fuel for their Nightmare Empire.
Yep. Yeah, look, it's not a great ADR if you're looking to make a competitive pair using existing competitive casters. It is probably makeable if you wanted to make one. I don't know that you gain that much by playing Ghost Fleet in ADR, because there's not that much you can put in the sideboard for Ghost Fleet that you really want in a sideboard. So you probably instead play Black Industries and Dark Host. Mm-hmm. None of them, even though Agathea is meant to be a Bane caster, none of them really come to me as great Dark Host casters. And I could be wrong, but none of them are the ones that I've seen typically. Black Industries you can play with Denny 2. Quite comfortably. Yeah. And I think you can probably play it with the others if you wish. And certainly you can play Captain Ikos in the Jack themes. I don't know that you can win consistently with him in the Jack themes, but it's certainly like Black Industries is probably where he wants to be if he wants to be anywhere. So
thinking about this is one of those ADR pairings which is not really relevant for Masters, because honestly the benefits you get out of ADR for playing in Masters with this particular roster just aren't worth it.
Yeah.
This is more a champions list to me, and by that I mean, so you'd have all the other factions where they have their ADR pairings and whatever, and they have stuck into those for champions, whereas Crix have some kind of meh casters, but they still have all their crazy theme forces.
Yeah, I mean, you can...
And if you're playing in champions, as Kricks, you don't have to deal with a lot of the random Kricks casters, counters that are just present. A lot of them just won't be, like, you can't take them.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got a good chance of playing Fleet and just walking through.
Just face rolling people because you have Fleet.
Unless they've got all of the nerfs in place, that could definitely happen.
Yep.
So anyway, Kricks in Masters, I don't think you'll see them playing ADR. I don't think it will happen very often, personally. But certainly you could do it if you wanted to. And they look like they'll still be reasonably strong in Champions.
In Champions, play Terminus, play Ghost Fleet. Yeah, play Terminus.
Leave your fleet behind.
Oh.
They can't dance. No. They're ghost pirates.
They don't even have pants. Their legs fall off, and the ghost ones don't even have legs.
Correct.
It's just awkward.
Yep.
There is no safety in this dance, unless you're Terminus, in which case there's plenty of safety, because everyone's friends with Terminus. Anyway, we'll move on to Signal, who have no friends. That's just the fact. Signal's ADR is kind of...
Oh, look, they let them have Siege.
Yes.
Siege 2.
Siege 2.
It's totally Siege, man. It's fine.
Siege 2's not bad. No, right.
So, this to me...
They give them Kray.
Yeah, this to me is basically, you get to play Kray, and more specifically, you get to finally play Kray.
Yep.
Because
good Kray. Good Kray. Like, fixed Kray.
Kray.
I've played into Siege 2 a bunch. He's better than he expected. Especially because
he's better on the table than he is on paper.
Because he actually is kind of like...
It's a good way to be.
Yeah. Pretty much, he kind of actually reminds me a lot of Chromac 2. Especially... But in a good way.
So he's got style points. You heard it first. Hey. Get in there and play with style.
Seriously. He's got a jetpack. Of course he's got style points.
Chromac's got Wrathrock. It's like the World Ender Axe.
Yeah, he's just a big fucking
and
hammer.
And this is the shittest version.
Yeah.
Okay, no, Madrick 1's is pretty shit now. Madrick 2's, though.
It's a good axe.
It's a good axe, friend.
It's a good axe, friend.
You can throw that axe a long way.
Yeah,
it's not even just the... Well, yeah. Chromax's just afraid of letting it go. That guy won't do anything.
He knows it won't come back.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Madrick, he can't get rid of it. Yes. That thing is clingy as fuck.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it's just like, no, I didn't want you to die. So that guy over there did.
Yeah.
And then that guy. And then that guy. And then that guy. And then there's... All these people are dead. Just everybody. Just not you, okay? It's all good.
You are the doom of your people.
It's yandere to the extreme. Yes. For all those who know what that means, that is Wrathrock in Madrick. Well, Chromac is like the clingy, weird guy. You just won't let go.
That's the opposite kind of thing.
And Siege has a jetpack. this conversation. Is the jetpack Wrathrock?
No.
Is Siege Chromac from the future? And he's come back in time to slay the original Wrathrock.
Well,
only
maybe
if Haley let him.
If Haley let him.
Because now she's apparently time gone or something.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Speaking of which, as is customary for every fucking Signar ADR, there's no Haleys on this.
No, but we have Jakes and Maddox.
Yeah. Maddox has lost a fair bit since you can now take, like, you can take Pathfinder solos, so you don't need Maddox to play Storm Division, and Storm Division has sort of suffered anyway.
And Jakes never really fitted. No one's played her that much.
Kray might be better than Jakes.
She does the thing that the faction already does. So everyone's just like, what? She was in any other faction, she'd probably be really good
and interesting. Yeah.
But she's just like, you know what you guys need? Reach and Electrolyte.
Mm.
No, Jakes. No, you don't.
We've only got one unit that wants that. Everybody else has already got it, buddy.
So, I'm thinking about it, like, if you played Jakes in, like, fucking Menoth, you'd have Escort and Sprinting Dervishes with Electrolyte and Reach. You'd be like, that'd be pretty good, right?
It would be good in, like, any other faction.
Yeah.
Just Signar is just like, Jakes. Cool it. We got lots of that already. Just go sit in the corner and chill.
If you can't give your Electroleaps an extra dice on damage, just go away. Come back some other time.
And then there's like Nemo on his like pedestal.
Yeah. I bequeath upon you electrical damage and more electrical damage.
Question one. Can you play it in Champions? Probably.
Yes.
I think you
can probably play Kray and Siege.
I think this
or you could probably play Maddox if you really wanted to, because she's still just a lesser version of one of the others.
Yeah,
but you probably play Kray.
I don't think you play Jakes, but that's just
so you're
not
you're
because
playing...
Jakes is bad, just because the faction already does what Jakes.
Well,
does.
It's also Kray. I think is better than Jakes.
Yeah,
so.
No. Kray is the one you play.
Yes,
it's just who do you
the
play off-list with?
The off list is the question.
Yeah,
and then it's probably Siege because he's the obvious like style guy.
Yes.
And then you have...
So to recap...
Then you have Maddox, and she's like, if you just felt like, you know what, I really enjoyed the beginning of the theme forces when Maddox was like the most obvious theme available. And then, I guess, Jakes is, you know, for the people who like Jakes and Redhead.
Maddox have the stupid, tough Arcane Shield version?
Yes. Yeah, she has that spell. Yeah.
I'm sure you can find a place for her.
Maddox is not good, bad, and I'm pretty sure if you wanted to play the lightning theme, she's the one to still play it with.
I don't know, because I think you can play it with Siege, because he just has Fury, which is...
Yeah, but you're playing Siege with Trenchers.
You don't have to.
Trenchers.
Yeah, just shut up. You're not, A, you're not my dad, and B, Siege is a guy with style, and, like, clearly lightning...
He can style on anybody.
So to explain what I meant by the style thing, by the way, and the reference to Chromac 2, before we all start laughing again, the big thing with Siege is that he's very good at just unjamming random shit, and just saying, look, mate, I got a 15-inch threat range with my knockdown hammer, and I've got Triumph.
Jetpack! Yeah, Triumph is also a good thing. Like,
yeah, yeah, Triumph is you know that rocket turret Siege has? He actually has two, and the second one is Triumph.
And it just walks around and shoots twice a turn that ignores stealth and incorporeal like a giant
it
fucking
basically
asshole.
Is a...
So if you want reasons that I like CID, Triumph is one of them.
Yes.
He was a Triumph of CID.
He was a triumphant success.
Yeah, he's yeah. Very
I'm not
going to
dignify that original pun with a response, because fuck you.
You already did.
Damn it.
You mentioned
style
it.
Points.
This is all about style.
Yeah.
All right, so do we think that you actually see them in ADR in Masters? Does someone actually play Cray and one of these other three?
I think it's potential, but
band?
I think it's pretty low.
I think this theme reminds me... This theme is actually kind of like... Basically, this theme only has two casters in it as far as ADR Masters is concerned. I think it's a case of, if you are randomly playing those two casters anyway, bonus.
If you really like Cray, and you should, and you really like Siege, and you can,
yeah.
It seems like a perfect opportunity to play them. I definitely see people going, I'd rather still have one of my
Cray
three
and Haley.
Yeah, yeah. For instance, right, well, that'd be what happened. It's like, you might be playing Cray and Haley 3, right? Seems a fair pairing.
Cray 3.
And you might be going like, okay, cool, what happens if I take a lesser caster in the form of Siege, but I get ADR? And then that would be the question you're juggling.
So really what you're asking is, how much does Cray get from ADR? And I don't know enough about Cray as a list build to really be able to say how much he gets out of having 40 points of specials.
I've only ever seen him played with Trenchers, but I suppose you could go with Commanders.
Why would you play him with Trenchers? It's
Siege Cray. Oh, sorry.
Cray.
Okay, Cray. I have no idea. Jack loadouts?
So about that, one thing with ADR, right? Because we've already one thing with specialists in the past is that used to be one of the things you could do was you could mix and match solos. Now, we just established at the start of this cast that doesn't really work. If you pick one Merc solo, though, that's a Merc solo you're just stuck with, right?
Yep.
But if in the case of, like, Elish or Orin, it's like, I only need them in the matchups where they're relevant.
Yeah.
So I find that... What?
It's oh, I've got Orin. Oh, this is a matchup where he's not relevant for one of his three things. I guess he just zaps three dudes and kills this random solo now.
Or it's like, I need my Pathfinder solo. Sure.
But the thing is, Jacks are very different because you can mix and max. You can have Cray with just 40 points.
You can completely change his battle group.
Well, for instance, right? Once if you need Cray to play in the Signar Mirror and you randomly run into that guy with all the Signar Lightning Jacks, you're like, cool, all the Fireflies and the Storm Strider are now Chargers or something.
So, stupid question.
Yep.
Because this is one of the things that people have put out is what do you do if somebody is off-listing, if their 40 points is a Colossal or their 40 points is two Battle Engines and you're looking at it and you're trying to do your normal list calibration.
Well, I think you're looking at Axis theme with like 18 galvanizers.
I agree, but for that situation, you kind of know, right? But there are casters in the game where if they swap in 40 points worth of heavies or 40 points worth of two battle engines and a heavy from all of the units that were in their list, you go from using your list that can counter a sort of combined arms force to needing your list that can break armor and you have no choice. You've got to play it. So... That's, I think, the main draw to playing ADR in Masters is that you can actually have that option to say, this list, which looks on paper like it's a balanced list and you can play whatever you want into it, is actually five heavies and two battle engines.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get into Kador eventually, but I think Kador is one of those factions that can do that really well because you have two theme forces which are like, you can play infantry or you can play Jax.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of casters in Kador that are like, you can play infantry or you can play Jax.
Yeah. Yes. And there's also a lot of situations where if I'm playing a huge base in one of my lists, you can go, and there's two Marauders in my sideboard. What would you like to do?
Well,
or you mean all the Marauders?
We'll knock into that because A, that's quite unrealistic because those two Marauders were clearly in your main deck, not your sideboard.
There could be two more.
You're thinking with Marauders.
If my sideboard is two battle engines and your sideboard is four Marauders, I'm in a world of trouble.
Yep. Speaking of Marauders, we'll get into Aldwych 2. Oh, wait, no, the wrong faction.
Wrong faction.
Oh, shit.
Grumblekins. Grumblemans.
Grumble Bros?
So, Grumbly Men.
Grimkin, actually, to me, their theme
for... How many classes they have?
Six.
And that's a problem, is that the
two-thirds.
The two that I wanted to play are gone.
So no Child and no
Dreamer.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, because we saw at WTC the most common pairing
was Child Grimkin and Dreamer.
And they usually look at tournament pairings to decide what
That's because Dreamer's awesome and Child is strong. Like, exactly. Dreamer's awesome in terms of has lots of cool things and does cool shit, and Child is just brutally strong.
Yep, look, if you ever need a Colossal
She's
removed...
like Kador, yeah. And the other one's like Signar.
Maybe more like
I would have gone like, Dreamer is more almost what I like about Circle. But okay. Circle doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. She does not hit and run at all.
Well, no, she just has cool little tricky things. Okay. She has phantasms, she has like weird guns.
Yeah, but I think that's like along with like
Abyssal Gate.
Where they're all control tricky bullshit. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Just Haley, right?
Yeah.
There's no other control tricky bullshit. Okay, it's one caster.
Yeah.
And Kray now.
And Kray.
Sort of. Yeah, okay.
No,
he's got hidden run. Yes.
Yeah.
And come on. Signar equals Haley. Haley equals Signar.
Yes.
Signar Haley.
Okay. It kind of doesn't matter if you have
Unless
only one control caster.
Unless you're playing champions for some reason.
Sure. Then it's just Siege for style points. Days. Days of style.
As we said, he only gets that when Haley lets him.
Indeed.
All right, so what do we got? We got King of Nothing, we got the Wanderer, the Heretic, and then Zerkova on a giant pile of scrap.
That's a beautiful model, by the way.
It is a cool model.
It is.
It's huge.
So, question one. Champions, actual real pair. Heretic's pretty good. Wanderer's okay.
I think
King of Nothing okay.
It'd actually probably be Wanderer and Old Witch. King of Nothing
is. I've heard every
possible pairing
with Old Witch.
Fair enough.
See, it kind of makes sense, right? Because you've got six casters, and we know that Grimkin aren't. Well, we are of the opinion that Grimkin are not a bottom tier faction, so they are sitting somewhere middle to upper.
Yep.
And that means that if they only had six casters and they made it into middle to upper, they probably got four or five that are decent.
Though, depending who you talk to, Old Witch is definitely top three out of six.
And the other top two are probably banned right now.
Yes.
But again, we're looking at the other three, which are the Wanderer, who's in the right matchups is incredibly strong. Though in the wrong matchups has more problems. If they have a strong mat fixer... He has sad days.
So is Heretic your Child replacement in this list?
See, it could be Child. It could be Heretic or King of Nothing, depending what you want. Depends how you build Old Witch. Old Witch is so flexible, you could build her every way you want, which I think is why you choose her as you're like, okay, I'm playing Old Witch. Then you choose a pair.
How I choose to play her is what decides where I'm going.
Because, instance, I could see like an Old Witch. Normally, like I've seen Old Witch in, say, Bump, right? Or
you could go DM, or you could go.
But if you go like
heavy
say,
infantry, you could go light infantry, or you could go light, so you could go heavies. You could just
all the piggies.
She's really flexible, which makes her really interesting for building. But it also makes it that your pair can be like she's really good for complementing
for a limited
pair.
A limited format.
Also, Windstorm. Windstorm is just fucking fantastic, and is really what the faction wants. So about that, like, you, for instance, the pairing I could see is, like, Old Witch in, like, Dark Menagerie and Wanderer in Bump, or we could stop pretending that people play Bump and just go Dark Menagerie for both.
I like Bump.
I want to like Bump.
I like Bump with Dreamer, but there's no Dreamer, so I can't play Bump. Not that I got to play Bump anyway.
Yep. Well, if you want to play Bump, I think, actually, Old Witch is probably actually the better one for it, but Wanderer can also make a decent case. King of Nothing continues to perplex people for eternity.
I don't know. Hickling's saying that he's getting some
results.
Actual results.
Yeah. He's had three games and won two of them or something, and he seemed quite happy with them, but I don't know.
So I guess
I've played more than three games with King, and I still think he's.
So that's the thing,
odd.
Is, I think ADR might help King in very specific ways, because I think...
Yeah?
because I think it means that you can tailor pick your list a lot more. Also, King of Nothing is just has a Cloud War caster in a particular limited format, especially champions, seems quite good.
So talking about how much... So I guess there's two things I wanted to go with on Grimkin specifically. One is Grimkin only have the two theme forces and are therefore fairly limited in what they can and can't do. And that to an extent limits what they can do with that extra sideboard. But on the flip side of that, which three or four now?
It's three.
Who even knows? The witch that's three. With the grumbly hands. Grumbly witch. The wicked witch of the west.
Yes.
She's already under the house. Or the house is with her. I don't know.
She's on either the way. House.
Somebody needs to re-sculpt it with just her feet sticking out from under it. But anyway.
I don't think she has to be.
She does. She has client feet, but we weren't.
She lost them when the house fell on her. So, anyway, you could, for example, play bump and throw double pigs in the sideboard, which would make life very interesting for your opponent.
You could go light infantry spam and move into a heavier thing if you were like, well, these people are going to have problems with pigs.
Yeah.
I could see it. I think it would...
I think, actually, you could put a bunch of Holloman in, and then when you see Holloman are useless, which is a lot of the time...
every game.
You take them out.
There are matchups where they actually...
keep holding on for that.
Well, that's the thing, is with ADR...
They like the Bane theme, surprisingly.
Yeah, okay.
Because the Banes are like, okay, how do I deal with these? We're going to engage them. And Holloman are like, no. I'm sorry. And I'm going to be over here now, and my Power 11 gun's going to shoot you in the face.
And Holloman are uniquely suited for killing Banes, which is incredibly weird.
Did you say you're, like, stealth? I can't see with my lack of eyes. Mm. You just seem to be in front of me now.
Yep.
Right. That's one of the few things they're actually like quite capable of killing.
So I think that's probably...
Otherwise, but then they hate other guns, but then Old Witch is like, bro.
It's okay.
We got you.
Windstorm. I think that's actually a good point, is that ADR allows you to take models with situational matchups. Like, yes. I've got one for the next faction coming up, which is perfect.
I've got
but
a beautiful one for minions, like the best one in the game.
Fair enough. But I'm excited now. And for Grimkin,
right,
it's clearly right Holloman, but you like, you know, you could go to Holloman, and a lot of cases, they're just shit. They're 12-12s with very mediocre shooting output.
Yep.
Well, there's Rat 5.
And then sometimes
10,
you play in a Winter Guard.
Power 11. Power 11
is kind of nice. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about it.
Yeah.
They do technically have a 17 inch threat range, though, because they're speed 5, but they get a 2 inch placement
really?
Mirage.
Awesome.
Yes. And then
but
sometimes
then you look at Riflemen and you're just like, oh my god.
But they're cheap, right?
No, they're not.
They're 13 points, 16 points with the UA, and you're just like...
But they come back when they shoot stuff.
If they kill a living model.
And they also have to have models...
And they have to have the UA. If the UA dies, it doesn't work anymore.
But they have abilities that make them really good at hitting things, right?
No.
They have abilities that make them good at killing things?
Do they have CRA?
Yes.
Yes.
I guess
that doesn't count. Not with Rat 5 and Range 10. I mean, at least if you've got Apparition, you're effectively range 12.
Yeah, except
you're pretty close to
range. The only problem is you're 10 inches away from the model, you failed to kill because you're Holloman, and then,
then you're dead.
But then there's the thing, is you do have matchups where they are actually quite good, because your opponent has a shit ton of infantry that they can just, like, there are key guns...
That's susceptible to rank 5
I'd be surprised.
What matchup are we talking about? Is this the Holloman mirror?
Chris,
I've got 20 Holloman. Well, I've got 20 Holloman. All right, let's do this.
Would you like to hear the last game I saw Holloman in? It was against Scorn. And they had blind. And they're like, all of them are affected by blind. And so they shot all the Nihilators. And then two Nihilators survived and killed them all.
I was going to say, what happens if the Scorn
instead... This wasn't my game.
What if Scorn just instead bought, like, three beasts and one Animus and said, go for it, Holloman. You can C-Rat for a single dice off one.
And then, at that point, we immediately switch the Holloman out for literally anything else useful.
Anything else.
But that is something that you can do with ADR.
So, Nayslayers.
Nayslayers, or even just, like, here's 30... Nayslayers
that wreck that thing.
Yes. That's why I was saying you play her with, like, the heavy infantry.
And then,
but anyway, so, you could play... If we thought that she was good enough, which she probably is...
She is.
Your problem would be, do you get enough for her to justify playing it in Masters? My guess from talking is probably not, because most people are going to want to play Child or Dreamer as their other. Most likely.
So
in Masters, let me put it this way. In Masters, do you gain more by being able to play either Child or Dreamer, or by getting 40 extra points?
I think it depends on how comfortable you are with one of the other three.
Fair enough.
Because a lot of people are still getting used to Old Witch, because she's technically the newest caster and the last to be released. And a lot of tournaments she wasn't legal for, like, for example...
WTC.
So, people would have some experience, likely, with Heretic, Wanderer, or King of Nothing.
Yep.
So someone's probably comfortable enough with one of those three to be okay with not playing Dreamer or Child. I mean, most people probably relied at least one of those two on their pair.
Yep.
Yep.
But I can't say that it's true for everybody.
Sure.
Because I think people could have had success with Heretic, Wanderer, Heretic, King, Heretic,
Well, actually, King, a lot Wanderer. Of people would have been used to, say, Dreamer, Wanderer. That was a very common pairing at WTC, actually.
Yep.
Because it was... And you'd be like, okay, well, I guess Old Witch can sub in for Dreamer. I've still got all my Wanderer reps under my hat.
Yeah.
And it'll have to jiggle
and
around.
And I think Old Witch is good enough to play the corner.
Yeah.
And then they're their niche... like matchup, because I think Old Witch, if you have Old Witch and King of Nothing as a pairing, you're just like, oh, gun lines.
Yeah, fuck off.
Because King of Nothing's just like, if it's a fair gun line, that's just like, oh, clouds are in the, like, their bane. King of Nothing's just laughing. And Old Witch is just like, okay, here's the unfair gun lines that are like, I see through clouds and forests and all kinds of bullshit. Old Witch is like, but you don't have range, so fuck off.
Yeah, like, for instance, King of Nothing would just fold, like, a wet paper towel against, like, Kane 3, because it's like, oh, that's really cute, here you go. Whereas, like, Old Witch would immediately just fucking destroy that. On the flip side, like, Wintergard Command has probably enough range to get through Windstorm to kill all your crappy Hollowmen or guys, but has almost no answers beyond a Spriggan.
If only you had a caster with Windblast.
Yeah, Windblast doesn't... they don't always have old Vlad, to say.
And if they're playing in this, they don't.
And let's be honest, Vlad also probably wouldn't be in Wintergard Command.
So. Yeah, you can't even play Grail in ADR.
He's not very good in Wintergard Command. I mean, like, play him in Wintergard Command, but he really doesn't really, like, reach his full potential in Wintergard Command.
So, summary. Can you win champions playing Grimkin?
Yes.
Okay.
I might try.
So you might see them in
because
ADR.
Because Kador... Oh... Kador.
Yes. Let's talk about Kador.
All
right. So Kador has the following: Kozlov and Vlythree. Oh, fuck this.
Axe Cop,
to be honest, right? I really like the idea of him later on when Manowar theme comes
out.
Why
did he become Axe Cop?
Because he's
Because he's got an axe.
He actually looks
like. I got that part, but I mean, Cromac's not called Axe Cop. No, he's called Style Guy.
He's also one of those. We're the good ones, and he's got a big poser. He's like, look at my axe.
He actually has a pose very similar to Axe Cop in one of the comics, which is.
Well, Axe Cop's usually like this rather than like this.
So the reason I was asking the question is I have no idea who Axe Cop from the comics is and did not know that existed. And hence, now I understand why he's called Axe Cop.
It's basically a comic.
About a guy.
Stop. It's a comic written by a 5-year-old and drawn by an adult. There you go, Colin.
Sweet.
Hence why it's Axe Cop. Anyway.
There's a TV show, if you must know.
Excellent. Oh my god.
Is it on Netflix?
I'm pretty sure. No. Is there? It's a cartoon, I'm pretty sure.
I assume so.
It might be crazy.
Okay.
It might be crazy.
Well, so who have we got? We've got one of the Sorcerers. I don't recognize which one.
The good one.
Sorcerer 1 and Old Witch 2.
So when she became 2, she became Forward Commander?
Yes.
Sure. That makes perfect sense. That's a promotion if ever I heard one.
Commander to Forward Commander? It's got more words in the title. Of course it's a promotion.
But it's more specific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes it less good, right? Like, if you're just general, that's great. If you're general of the third fleet, general of the third fleet. You're not general of everybody.
Yeah, but what if you're a major general?
Sure it is.
Oh, well, look, which is
how about lieutenant versus second lieutenant, eh?
I don't know. I'm not military.
Yeah.
But I know
how... But you know how generals work. I see how it is.
Well, how about this? What is better, commandant or supreme commandant?
What about admiral or rear admiral?
What about major general or...
No, seriously, what about admiral or rear admiral? Does anybody know what the difference between those two things is?
Yeah, rear admiral's the backup admiral, but that's...
Actually?
Yeah.
Like, so they're
the
reserve admiral?
So forward commander is the... The first one.
First to die, Sorsha.
That's probably how it actually works.
All right.
Because Sorsha 1's just like, why aren't you Def 20?
Yeah, why aren't you Def 20?
And Sorsha 2 is just like, shut up!
Because I'm the backup.
No, she's technically not.
As an aside, can I get Sorsha 2 to have old school Iron Flesh again, please? Because without that, like, man, she's just a cast that just feels like missing.
No.
Anyway,
please.
No.
There's only two casters.
I don't want
Kayazi
back in the game.
Because Kozlov is Vlad 3 is, you know, if you like Vlad 3, he's like style points.
He's the style guy for Kratos. That is 100% true. That's why Chuck plays him.
Yeah,
he's
the style guy.
No. He's the style guy. But Sorsha's the queen of style.
Yep.
She's of style. Way up there in style. She's just like, you know what, I'm going to be on your side of the table at the end of this game. And Vlad 3's just like, why can't I be there and win games? It's the winning games that you have to see.
He can get there. He can make it to the end of the table. And if scoring a touchdown was the victory condition, he'd be there.
He'd be one of the best at it, to be honest, because charge, sidestep, sprint would get
the
you
question
there.
Question here is what theme forces do you play with Sorsha 1 and Old Witch 3?
Yeah, so this is one of those this is one of those where there's realistically 2.2 casters, and the 0.2 is Kozlov if you really want.
What, you're completely discounting style?
No, I'm saying that...
No, you have...
Captain Style, actually.
You have the most style.
He's the great prince of style.
Yeah, he's
not
the great prince of...
Or you have Commander Style, who for whatever reason... And for whatever reason that has way more weight than being some great prince of style, because
he has like 8 words in his title.
Yeah.
Wait, Axcop's got like 7.
Well, that's because they're lords, and Sorsha and Old Witch are just, you know, it's like, fuck off.
He's not just a lord. He's a lord and a viscount of Skarsgård.
Yep.
He's one of those guys who's like, I'm a good Cadoran who has all like these good Cadoran
axes.
Yeah.
Seems like that's what Cador's get.
It seems appropriate that a lot of Cador is basically walking around with an axe and then, you know, chopping people up, because that's apparently what it takes to be a lord in Cador.
Right, question one. If you're in actual champions, could you play the only pair that you have identified, and would it be good?
Yes.
Okay.
You have the two
Sorsha 1 and Old
Witch.
You have
the two best casters in the game. Oh, sorry, in the faction.
Jesus, you heard it here first.
To be fair, Sorsha 1's probably really up there, and to be fair, Old Witch 3 is probably also really up there.
Yeah,
so I might be off, but I don't know how far off I really am.
You're a little biased here, but let's be honest, right? You can make a
Queen of Style.
I'll give you two A-tier casters. You can have A-tier. I don't think they're both S's.
No.
I'll give them A's.
I will accept.
Yeah.
I'm not even certain they deserve A's, but they are pretty good. So, okay.
Colin.
S is for style.
S is for style. So, yes.
So, S at the moment includes Vlad 3, Krat 2, and Siege 2.
And Sorsha 1.
And Sorsha 1.
No. I'm not giving her an S, because she's actually good. You don't get to be in the style category.
Siege 2 might... He's
okay.
He's got a rocket pack. That's what he's got. He's got a 15-inch hammer and a rocket pack, and that's style. That's what that is.
He does wish he had Sorsha's 19-inch hammer.
He makes an entrance.
Agreed. Realistically, this is not a question of what casters you play, because, as I said, it's fairly obvious.
What list do you play with those two?
It's what themes, yes.
Sure. So, and first question, if you were playing in Masters, what would you play?
I'd probably play... So one of them would be Winterguard Command, and I'm actually not sure which one, because I've been fucking around with it, and honestly, they both have good arguments.
Both are fine. Yep.
Both are fine. Sorsha and Winterguard Command is a list I took for ADR.
The other one is Jaws of the War.
Probably Jaws. There is an exception. You could take Old Witch 2 works fantastically in the Iron Fang theme. In fact, I think that's her best theme. The argument instead, which is something I've been wrestling with,
it's almost useless in ADR.
Yes.
Unless you're like, I like black dragons in these situations.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I guess
Sorsha?
Against Sorsha or even
Mini Feet.
No.
Bite me.
No. It's against Hollowman with a caster with an armor debuff.
And Borka. Anyone that has stationary, right? Anyone with mass stationary, you might sub them in. But that seems
also,
like a weird case.
You'd probably also in this case,
can you take the battle
engine? But to be fair, in Champions, Borka 1 and Sorsha 1, Borka 2 and Sorsha 1 are both on.
Can you play Battle Engines in Jaws? So
Black Dragons actually might have a place in the ADR.
So to get to your question, Colin, no, you cannot.
Champions, you
can you play Battle Engines in the Iron Fang thing?
No, but you can in Winter Guard Command, which
so
is
that's the only one?
Yes, because the only one is the gun carriage. So that's the actual catch, is like Winter Guard Command ADR is going to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we play Man O' Wars in Sorsha?
Not Sorsha, currently.
Can we Iron Flesh the shit out of some stuff?
And no, she doesn't have Iron Flesh.
That's Sorsha 2.
Right, so the following is...
Sadness.
Yeah. Sorsha 1 can play anything, but she rather likes things that threat as far as she does, and Man O' War as they currently are.
So like, things with a 19-inch throw range.
Yes.
So, rockets. So she likes rockets.
She loves
rockets. That's about it. And mortars.
No,
and Victor. She loves Victor.
She likes lists with flexibility. So she doesn't like the Iron Fang theme that much. Because it's very...
Brick to the face?
Blunt.
Brick, yeah, it's very blunt. She likes
so she'd love Man O' Wars, then. They're all about the flexible.
until we see what...
And mobility, and threat ranges. Those guys, they sound like they tick all the boxes.
Fuck you. When we see what the theme brings them, but right now I agree.
So
I
if the theme brings them 14-inch range rockets, she's back on board.
You're right.
Well,
no, it's the range them, increased by 8 inches.
Battle engines.
Yes, it does get
the battle. And she will like battle. She likes guns that are
not that accurate, but are really good at killing shit.
Yeah, she doesn't need them to be accurate.
Yes.
Which is why she likes Jaws, because she can take inaccurate jacks with almost any of the units are fine with her, because... Yeah. Chaos, you get to dumb places.
Yep.
And even...
Everything's
even,
good if your opponents are all stationary.
Yes. Even the ones that come off the side of the board, Kossites.
Yes. Yep. So Kossites...
When they're frozen and you need to contest a zone that nobody would be able to touch, she's just like, guys...
Bring the Kossites. Let's do this.
So
and they're like, seriously? Seriously, Commander? So, wait, are you the forward commander? Whatever, I don't care. Yeah. Why are you on Kossites?
She's Commander Sorsha. We think we've established this. So actually about that, Kossites, I've practiced this before... Consulates are one of the best ADR choices, because in most games, they're useless.
Yep.
It's a known problem. And when they're not useless, like say when you have the Ghost Fleet matchup...
They can sometimes be awesome.
They are sometimes game-winningly awesome. Yep. And you'd be like, you could actually just have a max unit of Kossites in your sideboard for the times when you need it. It's like having the it's like having the shark repellent.
Yeah.
90% of the time, you don't need shark repellent.
That's very true. even in Australia.
Even in Australia. And 5% of the time, you might need shark repellent, but you're like, maybe not.
I can make it through without it. It'll be fine.
And then,
he's just excited. It'll be okay.
It'll be okay. And then sometimes you run into the shark that is ghost fleet, and you're just like, fuck. Oh, yeah. Shark repellent.
Which I bought my repellent.
We played that game a little bit, Colin, and the game's changed a little bit since that matchup.
Yep.
But I think there's ways that you can reinvent that list a little bit, where Sorsha can take gun jacks with magical weapon. She can take a bunch of magical solos, and she can take Kossites shooting people in the back.
As an easy
so that she can get rid of the stupid, annoying ones that are keeping units alive.
As an easy example, right, you can put jacks... In Jaws of the Wolf, you could take jacks and put them on the Forge Seer instead of Sorcerer herself so that they become magic weapon jacks.
So
in the matchups, it's relevant.
There's one of the bits that I'm not yet clear on. The way... And this is just me. I read the ADR rules. The way it's worded... I think the intent is that if you have something like a Forge Guard, a Forge Seer guy, you can't have a jack without a marshal in the 40 points that you then swap with the jack that's currently on him. I don't think you're allowed to do that. So I don't think you can go like, oh, right now he's got a demolisher. I'm putting a destroyer in my sideboard. And then I'm going to swap in that destroyer for his demolisher and give him a destroyer. I don't think you're allowed to do that, but I'm not certain from the way they've worded it. So it's very hard to tell whether you can or not. Now,
email brianwoodsdownunder@gmail.com to answer Colin's question. Because I'm sure one of you guys actually knows the answer.
So the reason that one's confusing is also whether or not you can swap. So I believe you can swap things in and out of battle groups. That seems to be the way it's written. Which I think includes lessers as well. So I think you can swap a battle boar onto Rorsch or off Rorsch as you see fit.
I agree.
But for Jack Marshalls, I'm not quite sure. It seems like you probably can. I think the ruling is really just whatever you can build, as long as you build a legal list out of the 115 points you have, you're good.
Yeah.
I think.
And it has to be card for card swap. So you can't min or max a unit.
Yes.
Yes. But
so, you can take a max unit and make it a min unit.
So here's the confusing part.
If you have
part.
The min unit in your
The sidebar. Confusing part is, if the way it's meant to work is you have your 75-point list and then you take something out and put something in, take something out, put something in, then you can't do it. Because you can't take the jack off him because you're not allowed to have a legal list where there's a jack marshal without a jack.
Yeah, yes,
oh, you can.
Oh,
you can, can't you?
It's not...
That's okay then, you're good. Yeah.
That's
you just
actually,
can't have a jack...
You can't have two jacks on the same jack marshal.
You have to...
So you can't bring
correct.
It in, but you could take one out and then bring it in.
Well, you also... If you take him out, you have to take the jack with him.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, so... Yes, you could play it in Champions. You would play Sorcha and you would play Witch. Yes, you could play it in ADR, therefore, because if it's... playable
in
with
Masters.
Those two and
but
you think they're good
that is legitimately a pairing that most Kador players have either entertained or have played that's
cool.
The simple pie.
Alright, so Kador sitting pretty happy on this idea.
When have they not?
That's actually strict.
What could we give them as four to make them unhappy? We give them Style Guy on a horse, who we've already given them.
Okay.
We give them Axe Cop, who we've already given them, and then we just have to
Old
find
which one.
Aldrich one and
Zarkova one?
Two.
No, because
Zarkova two.
Okay, but then you'd play Kozlov and Zarkova two and you'd have a skew pairing, but you'd be fine. So,
yeah.
No, actually, you'd,
you
still,
play,
you'd still
you'd
be fine.
You'd play Manowar theme or...
you'd fucking just go Manowars and Great.
What if I just gave you all three butchers?
Then that's
oh
style
my
on a
God.
Horse. Are you kidding me?
Butcher in three, butcher one. Because Butcher One's just like, okay, do I actually have an opponent that's playing fair?
So let's be honest,
Butcher
right?
One's just like,
God.
I'm going to shoot you off the table.
And so from the faction that has 400 things that they can play to the faction that only has one, which is on ADR!
We have Legion of Everblight.
And no, it's not as bad as I just made it out to be.
No, they have Thagrosh 1, and they have Fionn the Lash.
And Ryze isn't bad.
And I like Ryze.
Ryze is bad.
Ryze is the style guy.
And Carissa is the boiled celery of War Machine.
Yes.
So, you have three casters here, and...
She's almost certainly going through CID when...
Yeah, if you get lucky...
When anything goes through CID, sometime soon, she's got to go through with the Ogryn.
Legion's next.
Legion's next.
The Ogryn
and
next.
But let's be honest, right?
Yeah.
Like, as
but I think she'll get it anyway, because... Yeah.
Actually...
And does she need it?
Actually, future disclaimer, this is, like, before... Basically, we're going to just be stuck with these for 6 months. And the game can change a lot in 6 months.
True.
Especially with...
So,
Errata.
Yes.
Yeah, so feel free to, like...
Because current Denny 2 on the list is kind of like...
No one cares.
Yeah.
But it's one that'll come out in...
A month or so, and you're, like, pretty good to go.
Oh, Yael is here.
Unfortunately, it's not...
No, it's not my cat.
No.
That's the local cat that we call Yala.
Okay. Yala. I thought you said
Yarl. I thought you said... I heard Yarl.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wait, Yarn? No, Yarl. No, that's Yowler.
Yeah, it would have been pretty funny for Yarn to randomly drop into our cast through the backyard of Colin's house.
Okay.
Moving on to Legion.
Speaking of things you shouldn't do in your podcast.
Indeed. But yeah, you have Fianna and you have Thagrosh, and Ryze probably is a third.
So I'll be honest, since Jack stopped playing Legion, I don't think played against Legion at all.
I played against so much Legion.
Where?
WTC. I played them against three or four times.
Was it just Fianna?
Nope. I never played Fianna.
Whoa.
I played Kals 2.
Whoa.
I played Thagrosh 1.
Actually, he might be the style guy of Legion right now.
No, but Thagrosh, Kals 2
is Ryze is stylish.
Ryze is stylish.
I played against Ryze.
Yeah, yeah.
And I played against maybe one more, but I can't remember who it is at the moment. Against Ryze.
Yep.
Actually, I know who the style girl, rather, or girls, rather, for Legion.
Oh,
it's the
no,
twins.
It's not the twins.
Come it on. Is definitely the twins.
Saren just drags her down. Ryze is the one with style. She's got the awesome sword and the, like, backflips and the decapitation and stuff.
Mm.
Her sister just holds her back with all of the, like, talk about doing things with skills and spells and, like, making stuff happen. Ryze is all like, I just want to go in there.
Having an actual...
Like, control area and all of that.
You need
jazz. Like, that's not how it works.
And a command eight. Yeah,
you've got a sword and it's your job to get in there and stab people.
She has a katana. How's she stabbing anyone? But it's neither here nor there.
No, that's why she keeps losing.
Right.
This sword has crit decap, but that doesn't work when you stab people through the stomach.
Maybe it was just the three.
Just the three.
Ryze, Thagrosh 1, and Kals 2.
So, Question one. Could you play in Champions with this set and have a good chance of playing?
Thagros 1's pretty good.
Thag 1 is okay.
Fiona's pretty good. Fiona's pretty good, so I think you have a pretty good
So as chance. Pairings go, they've got a pretty good pair,
and then
right?
you have a style choice.
Yes.
And then you have no choice.
Then you have, yes, you have...
No. Then you have the list that you play.
You have the conviction.
You have...
That's
so
what
then you have.
You have...
No, this is...
You a, play with conviction.
You could play Chrisa. You could have a fully decked out list with
you
all these weird
Chrisa.
Things. No. Hear me out. You play Chrisa and Fiana. When you have the most ridiculous Chrisa list ever.
Yep.
And never drop it. Because why would you?
Unless you have to.
Do they have DNC in Champions?
I don't know.
No, they don't.
Really?
I think.
I don't know if they do or not. We should probably know that.
I think it depends by tournament. But realistically speaking, you're playing Fiana.
So you're just playing Fiana with whatever the hell holes her list has. That's it. You're just hoping that ADR patches them.
Personally,
why wouldn't you just take Thagrosh with like a massive fucking beach brick and just go...
Speaking
right,
of double battle engines...
Yes. And just go, right, I'm never dropping it, but you'd better think about it when you're doing your list pairing.
Because
if you don't bring something that can kill it, you're going to have a hell of a time.
Well, look, double thrones with Thagrosh seems like a good answer to a lot of shit that fucks over Fiana, like... Highly accurate melee infantry that can actually kill things like any caster with dark guidance.
Battle
and...
engines is like, yeah, bro.
Yeah, well, battle engines hunting with Thagrosh's aura. Fuck off.
The
and...
concept of that battle engine going, yeah, bro, is really disconcerting because it's got the mouth and the like.
There is the sorcerer on top.
That would be an amazing meme.
I mean,
just like, it with its mouth like, yeah, bro. Pair of sunglasses.
God, what? It doesn't have eyes.
It doesn't
actually,
need eyes.
No. Guys, I have been told that apparently it does. First of all, Legion battle engines do not have eyeless sight. I've been told it apparently does have eyes and they're like underneath the flappy bits or something.
I was
actual quote from Pagani.
What? Or it's the lady on top running the show. Oh,
No. They apparently do have eyes. I call it as drawing a battle engine smoking a thing with those sunglasses.
It's not smoking, those are tentacles.
Right?
I think that's supposed to be its mouth.
Also, the sorcerer.
It is its mouth. That's why it's saying, yeah, brah.
Also,
you can't say that out of a friend, whatever you thought it was.
Also, she totally needs sunglasses as well. But we'll
sure, she'll have sunglasses too.
But yeah, I think for now, basically, you probably do the double beast brick pair. You could probably put one in. What was the other thing? Actually, here's the thing, right? So the Ogryn theme is next, and honestly, having Ogryn in general as one of your drops, probably
Rice,
with Thagrosh.
Depending on what happens, Rice might like it.
Maybe the Rice as well. That
could
tune be
just a little bit.
Yeah,
it'd be good.
Fiana in like Fiana running the Oracles of Annihilation. Look, it's basically it is Legion's go-to list for the longest time.
It's so 2017.
Oh.
Yes.
Anyway. All right, so yes, you could play them in Masters, and in fact,
Fags
1, Fiana is possibly already a pair for some people.
For a lot.
I would say so.
So it's possible.
Yep.
All right. And in Champions, that pair is a pretty solid pair, and if you want to play style, there's an option to play style, so everyone's happy.
Legion's happy.
I think it comes down to basically how do you deal with like the Crix problem there. I know that Legion...
Style it.
Okay.
Just style it all the way.
Okay, so now we've come to obviously the worst fact.
Full circle. We're back to where we started.
No,
this conversation.
we just left the worst of faction. We just left Legion to.
No. There's nothing on the Merc ADR.
Right. So the highlight on the Merc ADR is Ashlyn, right?
Yes, definitely. Ashlyn, which is as everyone knows, Jan's favorite warcaster.
She's pretty close to a style pick.
Yeah, no,
she's
No. First of all, she has no way to...
She's fancy, she's got a pointy sword.
No one has style quite like Gaston.
It's true.
Come on.
Gaston has a
swanky.
Song.
He's pretty swanky. Does he have a song?
No one shoots like Gaston. No one boosts like Gaston.
Wait, what? Can we re-record that and make that the start of Dying Light this episode?
I don't know enough lyrics. I just know that first part.
Yeah.
Is it Googleable or is this made up by somebody that we know?
It's made up by anybody who's ever watched Beauty and the Beast and know who Gaston
is. Oh, that Gaston!
Yeah.
Ha. Yes.
No Wait. One boosts like Gaston. No one shoots like Gaston.
All right. Cool.
Da, 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 da.
Okay, we can totally re-record that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. That means more editing for me.
I can cover that shit.
Mm. I bet you can.
I can style all over that track.
Oh, yes.
All right, so who's the serious casters on here?
Who isn't?
All right, good. So in this
I think you
case,
can make a serious pair out of any of the four, But I think if you want to go full competitive mode...
Full try-hard mode, yeah, yes. It's probably Osram Magnus. It's either Osram Magnus or Osram Gaston.
Yep.
But I think we already talked about why Gaston doesn't really give a shit about ADR
yes.
and champions, because he's just like...
His list is already whale. Done.
Actually, he probably likes champions more because he's already list-locked and there's no AD, and there's no extra points in champions. So he's just like, whatever, guys. I'm going to take my Avengers and my choir and be all good.
All right, so maybe champions, we're talking you play Gaston and Osram, and then for Masters, you could potentially play Osram and Magnus, or Osram
and Magnus. Or
even Osram and Ashlyn. So the real catch is, right, and I know this because we just did a Merc cast, the main problem Mercs have currently is Cricks.
Sure.
And I think what you'd actually use ADR for is basically making an Osram anti-Crix drop for all the flavors of Crix. So you have 40
points worth of anti-Crix.
Yes, and then at that point you could go like, okay, you'd have your Iron and Hull and all that stuff, and apparently Osram is just that brutal at killing people that he can just man-fight his way through Ghost Fleet, which makes perfect sense because it's Osram.
Affy's Magnus list might be okay if it's not Denegri's Ghost Fleet, because he has... a shit ton of magical attacks.
Yeah, but you can also then take those... You can use ADR to then go, okay, cool, now we're no longer using the magic weapons because we don't need it, because the other problem That's is, true. Like... The main problem they have is the dual pair of Ghost Fleet and Banes with Banes.
Banes!
Basically, Witch Coven Banes is a hard counter to Ostrom, and then they're, like... They have no real caster who comfortably answers both.
Right.
And a lot of it is... there are some, and a lot of it comes down to a really serious gun line backed by a control feat, which is not anything Mercs tend to have, apart from maybe Magnus. The first thing that needs to be said is that Mercs have the most absurd flexibility with ADR because they have irregulars, their entire Merc stable, and they can literally pick whatever the fuck they want.
Mm.
They're flexible.
I hate irregulars for that fact. It's just like, why
make this a thing?
Yeah.
Not a thing. Everyone make gets that Mercs theme. Is a thing.
And you'd be looking at having that for every faction, but, well, that's probably not a direction they're comfortable taking, but they're very comfortable apparently giving it to Mercs. Because
it defeats the whole purpose, but, yeah, whatever.
So, I mean, it's not everything.
Yeah.
You can't have Cephalix.
You're right, but that's because Cephalix are almost like their own
that actually faction is
within a faction. It's weird.
Yeah, that actually Cephalix is...
Which is the real problem if you're a Cephalix player. Because you're SOL, this idea.
Yeah.
Sure, but...
you don't get to play.
Yeah, but Colin, I'll put it this way. Last ADR, you were also fucked because you had to play Siphon. In fact, literally played
at
against...
At least you could actually play your Burly Mans.
Sure. You'd be getting it afterwards and trying to sell your Cephalix, but
well,
that's
well, you'd lose, but you'd get to play.
Yeah, well...
But I don't think... But
you could have a perfect...
I think being a X player in Mercs, X being contract theme... anything is the wrong way to play Mercs.
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, if you played, for example, Minions and you were playing Pharaoh and there was no Pharaoh Warlock on it, you'd be pretty sad.
True.
Sure.
Technically, think, you're playing Minions, you could play Gators, but if you didn't want to,
I think
and
that's
you had
a
no
more,
option at all, you'd be sad.
I think that's
you
a more unique
sad,
problem.
But I think you're literally digging your own grave in that case. Like,
there's heaps of mono Pharaoh players, and there's
right.
heaps of mono Gator players.
But I think... They're trying to get people away from that by making a lot more themes.
They went two pig casters, two gator casters on ADR.
But
for that exact Cephalix reason.
Cephalix is also really weird.
So,
as a rule.
That's a good argument.
Yeah.
That's a really good argument.
Cephalix have a unique problem of basically being kind of like one of those Merc sub-factions, except there's only two war casters. And one
it's
of
not
isn't.
Even just a Merc sub-faction. It's almost like a test run for many factions in general.
Agreed.
And except, then they just made it a contract and gave them some Crix models, and they're all like, you're good, bros.
Yes.
Yes.
And then it's like, you can't be... You can be a mono Cephalix player, but I feel like you're just doing it wrong, and then you shouldn't be taking
sure.
it to tournaments anyway.
Sure, but... Yeah, okay. I guess my point would be I would have liked to have seen a Cephalix caster.
Sure, but then you
before.
Always have to have one
yep.
of the two on the ADR.
Yeah, that's fine.
That limits...
So you give Mercs 5. And just have one of them be Cephalix.
Well, I'm not going
to
lie.
Because it doesn't matter, right? Because the Cephalix, the people who don't play Cephalix aren't going to ever play that caster. They can't. They don't have Cephalix. So the only people who are ever going to be able to play that caster are the people who have Cephalix.
I have a big, strong objection on this, but you know what? Fuck it. This Mercs thing is already strong. So look, let's just, like, bite the bullet and accept and just add, like, you know, Vexus to it. Why not? Like, how can it make it...
It's not going
to
be worse.
It's not going to be any worse. It's going to be just as fucking ridiculous. So yeah, like, the... Merc's problem is Cricks, and Merc's problem is a couple of other things where they need special list models to deal with, and ADR seems cherry-picked for that. I actually suspect what will happen... You've got, to my mind, two ways to build it. One, you can make the ultimate Sledgehammer Osram list with... You could do the following. You could go, like, mass gum bunnies with a sideboard of, like, double Siege Crawler.
With a scattering of Siege Crawler.
Well, that's the thing.
With a smidgen of Siege Crawler on the side, thank you, sir.
And you can take the Siege Crawlers, and then if you run into that random guy running Magnus 2, the Siege Crawlers can come out, and there's more gun bunnies, right? Or you can mix and match that particular style, but you'd be basically playing Osram Hammer Strike as blunt as it can get. But it's perfectly legit. Paired with a caster, probably Magnus 2, in the interest of basically beating Cricks. Or beating whatever other problem happens to be. Because let's be honest, right? Your meta might not really have Cricks. Your meta might have other problem shit that really just gives Osram a hard time or whatever. As a result of that, honestly, like, Mercs eat your fucking hearts out. It's you have probably some of the best options for ADR in general. I mean, as an example, take an Osram list and then basically play it in irregulars, and then have a Siege Crawler, and then also have, like, a lesser minion Warlock. You could just randomly swap in your lesser Warlocks and just completely change the dynamic of said Osram list. I'm not exactly sure what lesser Warlock you'd pick, but you certainly could do that. Okay, apparently we're rating casters now.
No, I'm picking.
No, fair enough.
He's looking at ranking them, but we'll do that at the end.
Yep. And then, all of the thing, this is actually probably indicative. A lot of theme forces are a bit too restrictive for ADR to get maximum value, but what tends to happen in those ones, I think, is that the Warjacks become the point of swapping and contention. And then you have, obviously this is a problem more for Lael theme, and I think, for instance, if Lael theme you had in this particular pair, you had McBain, then they'd take much more advantage of the ADR there, because McBain is a Warjack caster.
So general feeling, Mercs right up the top.
Mercs probably made out like bandits. Yep. And by I mean definitely.
And you might even see it in Masters.
You have a very good chance you'll see it in Masters.
And if you do, there's a good chance you see Double Siege Crawler in the off.
Yep.
It's actually not appealing.
Minions!
Oh, is Minion next?
Yes, Minions are next.
Just for Colin.
All right, Colin, take it away.
Sure. So, good news and bad news. The good news is that at the moment, Minions, after the changes all go through, so after the rest of the ADR happens as well, not the rest of the ADR, the rest of the CID, I think Minions are probably in the best place they've ever been. There are a lot of casters that are good in Minions now. They have managed to dodge the ones that I'm personally focusing on at the moment. But, that said, they have kept some of them. So, your two options for the Pharicide are Midas and Sturm and Drang. I personally don't like Sturm and Drang. Lots of people have been reporting good results with Sturm and Drang, and I am entertained by the combination of Enliven and Shield Guard, so Sturm and Drang is a chance for some shenanigans in that regard, so I could see people playing him. I think Midas is one of the better casters in Minions at the moment. He runs Triple Brigands like a boss. And as I was saying at the very, very start, there is one huge reason why you might play this in Masters as an ADR. And if you were going to, I think you play Midas and Yaga Yaga or Midas and Barnabas. So you probably play Barnabas in Will Work for Food with a shitload of heavies and then play Midas with all the brigands. Your other option would be to play Yaga Yaga as your heavy list and Midas with the brigands, for me. If you do, then the biggest bonus you get is the person I'm putting forward as the greatest possible swap in, particularly in that context, which is Pendrake. You can sit Pendrake in your off list in your sideboard for Midas and have 30 brigands with access to Calamity and Prey. And if you ever play against hordes, then they just delete all the beasts. It's actually obscene.
I hate you.
It's actually horrifying. You can't afford to put him in lists normally because, like, you don't see that much hordes. And you're really careful on what solos you put in. But if you can afford to just swap him in, it's just nightmare stuff.
It's kind of like the very intention of...
It's the reason you're not meant to have a sideboard normally, right? Yes. It's so that solos like that can exist in the game. Because the drawback is...
There aren't that many solos like that anymore that have such a polarizing ability.
And for other factions, they don't, right? Because he's a merc.
Yes.
It's just that for Signar they do, and for Minions
they do. And Signar don't need help hitting things.
Yep.
And minions and mercs, well, like, a lot of them are just super accurate anyway, so it doesn't even matter.
Yeah. So, I am considering running it for Masters. The only reason I don't want to run it for Masters is because I'm playing around with Triple Valkyries at the moment, and I can't play Triple Valkyries. Well, I can, but I don't really want to with any of those casters. I think it is a decent champions set. I think you can play a couple of different pairings there, and given that a lot of people also like Sturman Drang and they like him with double battle engine or with at least single battle engine, and you can throw battle engines in your sideboard, and you can do the same for Midas because Midas also likes the battle engine. So you can put vaults in the sideboard for both the Gators, which means that you have an answer to Crix, and you also have an answer to single wound infantry that people have to try and work out what they want to do, because two vaults takes up a shitload of room on the board and you can't go within 2 inches of them with any single wound infantry. So if you don't have a way to remove them, then that becomes also awkward.
You also have a Dracodile.
Yep. Yep, you can have a Dracodile in any of those. So you can have it with Barnabas, and you get the Swamp Pit.
Yep.
Yep.
It's the Sea King.
Yep.
Yes.
I think it's still better just playing with two heavies in your Swamp Pit and Enliven. Because Warpath and Enliven are both really good, and Dracodile doesn't get either of them.
Let's be honest, that's probably why they've kept that particular interaction in the game, is because Barnabas is not that great at running the Dracodile. No. But on the other hand, if you want style points...
If your opponent's got a bucket load of guns, and the only way they can remove your Dracodile is from shooting, then yes, well, sure. Swamp Pit Dracodile seems pretty good.
Well, for instance, if your opponent has, like, say, some Storm Strikers... And your normal list with, like, heavies, well, you know, you might randomly dive the Electroleaps.
I think Electroleaps still get to you, though.
Yes, but they probably
won't... Yes, but your armor 20.
Yeah, so they probably won't kill a Dracodile in the Swamp Pit.
You hope not. If they do, well, they were going to kill everything in the Swamp Pit anyway at that point, so whatever.
Agreed.
Yaga Yaga now has Signs of Portent, which is a very, very good spell.
That's very good. Yes.
I haven't had time to play around with her much, but the reports that I've heard so far suggest that she is pretty strong. So I think you could easily see, with the new stuff that's in for minions now, I think you could very easily see minions start to win events without it just being Rakkard. So I'm looking forward to seeing that happen. If I do get into champions, I'm almost certainly running Midas and Barnabas. So I'll have fun.
Yep.
I put them as a 5 out of 7. Would play again.
Noise.
That's not how
they're all good casters, Brent.
That's not how 5 hours of was. That actually offends me. All right, I'm going to move on from your crappy thing.
Menoth.
Oh wow, this is actually really sad.
Yeah, no.
No. It's a playable for champions, but it's probably not going to be taken to Masters.
Yeah. So you have.
I mean, yeah. Okay. So what
this
are you
is
playing?
This is actually another kind of ADR style, because you'll notice we've been going through a lot of different styles of ADR. We've had like the only two casters in a pairing. Do all four of these casters amazing? This one where you have one caster, and then a random off.
Is there anyone in Menoth who gets style points? I don't think there is.
No.
Thyra, maybe, but Thyra's actually decent.
She just tries to be like
Menoth. The problem
she's
Menoth.
Actually just close enough to being good that she can't be star.
Yeah, but the whole point of Menoth is to be boring and lore abiding, so yes. I think that's like.
Yeah. So no star for them.
No star.
Like, you have characters who could be, but they were just never designed.
Yeah.
Like, Amon, Thyra are both characters who potentially have the potential to be styly. But they don't, because they were designed in the game not the way they could have been narratively. Because she's a ninja and he's a monk, and you could have gone really different routes for those two casters.
Yes.
They just didn't. They went Jack Caster and Teleporting
and
Lady.
Something. So what do we got? We got Thyra, we've got Anson Durst, the boring of the faith. We've got High Executioner Servas Resnick, the boring of the faith, and we've got Malachus, the boring of the truth.
I think there's actually
boring.
I like Anson Durst.
He's okay.
So
I actually quite like him, but he is
Menoth cast.
So I'd like to
he's the Baldur 2 of Menoth.
He is the Baldur 2 of Menoth.
Yeah, but I like Baldur 2.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're boring, but they're still okay.
No, you don't understand, Colin.
They can,
I like
you can
boring.
Like boring. That's fine.
Yes.
I didn't say they were bad. I didn't say he was the bad of Menoth. I said he was the boring of Menoth.
Yeah. If I don't get to play Sorsha, I like to go back to boring.
Well, she's not boring.
No, I know, because she's the amazing.
Yes. Malakas, incidentally, there's a misprint here because I'm pretty sure this caster. Yeah.
Argovich is so...
He's got both sides, though.
No.
No, he doesn't.
He's... Thank you, Chris. He is right. Strong.
But he's boring.
Oh, he's even too boring for me.
All right.
Yeah. I like boring. Right. He's so boring. I fall asleep. Every time I win games, and I'm just like, I hate myself.
The boredom of
why Kozlov. Am I playing this?
Yeah,
this feels terrible.
It's actually, his name is Isaac Harkovich, the Iron Boredom. A side note here is that if you ever wanted to hate mobility, play Harkovich. For his part, Malakas, which is actually a misprint, and Warcaster's name is actually called Eye of Truth. He has a Warcaster attachment that's not very good, unfortunately. Honestly, the pairing here would probably be Resnik or Durst and Thyra.
Yeah.
I think you'd go Jax with either of the two big dudes in great armor, whatever you call that. The two space marines.
You choose one of them, and then you get the chick from the Sisters of Battle,
yeah.
And you chuck the two of them together and call it good.
And then you got the weird random Inquisitor, Purgator guy, and you're
He kind of looks... Kind of chaos, to be honest.
I was going to say, it looks kind of Necron-y, too.
Okay, so you definitely don't want to deal with that guy. Because he definitely... Get rid of that weirdo.
He's off on the side.
So
I reckon Durst Thyra.
I'd play Durst Thyra. Yeah.
But I wouldn't play it in Masters.
Yes, I think this is a Champions one. It comes down to... I don't think this...
They didn't get anything they really wanted.
Yep.
What did they want?
Harby.
And?
You have Harby, and then you have your off-list.
And you have Amon,
you have your off list.
Yeah, okay.
Like, you can get by if you have, like, one...
What, so we're off? Cast. We're completely off Reclaimer now? We don't like Reclaimer anymore?
No, Reclaimer 2.
Okay. Reclaimer 2? Saying... Jesus, that's a big call.
No.
A lot of people play Testament, so sure.
Colin, if you ever wanted to beat Ghost Fleet, it turns out the answer is to be even more boring than Ghost Fleet. The other thing, too, is, honestly, Purya loves Thyra, and I can see with good reason.
So lots of people love Thyra.
Thyra's cool.
I think Thyra is the one you built for.
But she's, like, a solid B+.
No, she's better than that, okay. I think.
You reckon?
Well, I'll put it this way.
I'm not sure there's anything in that faction that's better than a B+. Just saying. Except maybe Reclaimer.
I think, well...
He was a lot better,
and I reckon he's probably still at least A tier. Like, he's probably still sitting in there.
I think he might be better. He's definitely... The problem is, it's actually a psychological thing with nerfs, but because he got nerfed, people don't want to play him.
Yes. He's still perfectly fine.
Exactly.
I take it back. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to the one person who plays with the boring of Menoth and listens to our podcast.
truth be told, I think...
I like Menoth.
Yeah. So I think...
I like the concept. I like Paladins.
I just hate painting them.
I don't paint them.
I know.
You guys can tell we're clearly very A, enthusiastic about Menoth, B, have actually seen Menoth recently. Actually, to be honest, and C...
That's true. Since Jack stopped playing Menoth, I also haven't played against Menoth.
I played against Tyra Claymore in September.
Yeah.
He was my first round.
How'd it go?
I lost, as I expected to, but it went better than I expected it to.
He's playing Child, but it turns out...
No, I was playing Dreamer.
Oh, okay.
But it was because I was just like... And here's some rough terrain, and here's some rough terrain, and here's some rough
I remember
terrain.
That game. Yeah, you told me about that.
Alright.
So, main problem here, I think, for Menoth is that you basically need to make Thyra your Kricksancer. But with ADR, you could. But I think you're right. This is a champion's pair, and then for that, you denied, like, Testament, you denied Amon, you denied Harby. You still have Thyra, but can she carry a pair by herself? I don't think
she's a carry.
Yeah, she... Doesn't...
That was what I was saying earlier. Yeah. She's not bad, but I don't think she's a carry.
I think Durst becomes your carry if you can play Durst well enough. And I just don't know that Durst can be good enough to carry that way.
I like Resnik.
Because Baldur 2 is your carry if he was in, right? Like, that type of thing is your carry, but it's...
Maybe ADR will help Menoth.
Yeah, maybe.
Not ADR, sorry. Maybe CID.
Certainly one thing with Menoth, and this needs to be said before we close up, is that Menoth... Like, all the Menoth Jacks are pretty fucking good. By and large. And having ADR to swap in and out, like...
Helps. Which jacks
hates it. For instance, like, Dervishes
might have a place because he's just like, I'm going to take all the fire jacks, and in the right matchup, I'm going to set everything on fire, and you're going to lose.
Eye of Truth is a fucking bananas war jack. We may have forgotten about it with all this theme nonsense, but like that jack was worth breaking theme before.
it's a real good war jack.
It still might be worth breaking theme for, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, actually,
because he would take Eye of
Her jack's okay as well.
Yes,
Blood of
Martyrs is quite good, but is it Eye of Truth? No, it isn't, because Eye of Truth is fucking bonkers.
Malakas would also really like Fiora's Jack.
Yes.
Is Eye of Truth available in the theme that has all the flamey guys?
No, it does not. It is not.
Pagani, yeah. I know you're not listening, but if you're listening, put Eye of Truth in the theme that has all the flamey stuff in it. Like the Cinerators and all of those dudes.
Or tell us why you won't at Woods Down Under. That's a...
Make sure it's an official Privateer Press correspondence so we can put it up later. All right, let's move on from Menoth to a faction we have a lot more experience. Oh, my God. Oh, shit.
Good news.
Vaughn is on ADR. The world is ending.
All right, so good news.
But Assyria is not.
I don't care.
I do. Because if she was, that would be absolute nightmare.
So to be fair, I love Ron.
It'd be so bad.
Ron is like up there with Sorcerer for me. Where
Ron's one of the few style casters who is also like a good caster. Sorcerer.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're the same level.
Yeah.
Except for Ron might be actually better.
I think he's... yeah, I really want to say that he's style, though. Like, he's got style points to him somehow.
He's, like I said, he's like...
Maybe Gary's their style. Gary's probably their style.
Gary.
Yeah, Gary's
He's their actual style, but he's the same level where he's got, like, the, like, panache.
Mm.
Where you're just like, he's just fun to play. Mm. And some people hate playing against Ron because it feels like you're not playing a game, but I just love watching a Ron plant unfold in front of me.
Well,
like,
if you know what, if you're not prepared for Ron, you're just, it's like going to play against Gorman.
Your men are already dead.
You're just like, yeah, you basically is Fist of the North Star.
6 months to a year,
yeah.
And I played against a Ron player and I realized just how rusty I was.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have, like, regular
inoculations.
Exactly. Or else you just kind of, like, make dumb mistakes.
Yeah.
Because Ron, just like, if you make one wrong mistake and the player is good enough, you're just like, goodbye, army.
When the wrong player asks you whether you left a gap between two models and you realize you never really said either way, you're like, well, I guess I got to live with this gap that they can then, like, basically use to part the Red Sea. That's when you know you've got a serious problem. So the good news is that they have effectively 2.5 casters in their form of Ron and Helena and...
Half being
Alara. I think Alara is actually better than that, to be honest. I think
Alara's half and Raven is zero.
Yeah, Raven.
Nailed it. She's so Raven.
Yeah. So Raven, the funny thing...
That was a pull, Colin.
That was a pull. So the funny thing is, Raven is...
He doesn't even know where that's from.
I do. It's just so Raven. Anyway.
That's literally what he just said, but anyway...
The funny thing is, you can actually probably play Raven anyway in Mage Hunter theme.
Yeah,
just go like Snipe Feet Go or Snipe.
Snipe Feet Go does not do the same thing anymore.
No, it doesn't quite.
Not
but
even Mini Feet Go.
If you
they don't do the same thing they do to casters.
But yeah. in a lot of cases, it might actually still be worth playing Raven because she's still actually quite capable of like smashing cricks in the face.
Let's be honest, you play Ron and Helena.
More than likely.
Probably.
You play Ron.
You could probably...
You could actually... No.
You could do the Ron...
I think it's really... It's Ron, Helena, and Alara. And the reason why you have Alara is because you can play Alara in Dawnguard or with the other great battle engine.
Charging Sentinels sound scary as...
They are scary.
They are very scary.
Like they're not as scary as Sentinels that you literally can't shoot.
That's true.
Yep.
Those are really scary sentinels. When there's 20 of them coming towards you and they're all like armor 25 or something stupid and you're like, my guns are power 14 and I thought that was pretty good, but now I need 9s to kill one of you and if I kill one of you, you're vengeance.
Get pissed off. Yeah.
And then they're like, I don't want them to reach melee, because that's the end of the
world. That's
going to
be bad too, so I guess I back up and see scenario.
And then they're like, and there's the one turn where you're like, okay, all I got to do is knock them down or stationary, and they're like...
Mini feet.
The word is just no.
Yes.
It's just no.
Yeah. So the main problem I'm seeing with the red ADR is that their fucking Arcantric Force Generator, none of these casters, apart from maybe Raven, can particularly run one well. Alara is okay.
I think you don't need to have a reason to bring an Arcantric Force generator.
Yeah, but I just want it stealth and Vanishing Warded and, like, I'm trying
also,
to think, like,
Ron
a rat player.
Ron can move it up the table.
Yeah, but Ron... Like, so the problem with Ron, right, is that you really just want to play Ron in Forges because people have tried... Like, Dylan's tried it and played it in, like, House Guard. Just, it's not the same. When your feet is only affecting your Warcaster, it's just not worth it. Which is actually a knock against Ron in this whole ADR situation. Is that he is kind of cherry-picked into playing, like, Forges of War.
And he doesn't really get that much from the ADR.
What I suspect he gets is that if you're playing Ron as just pure Battle Mage spam, probably not. If you're playing Ron with, like, that kind of five heavies build, I know Dylan plays from time to time, that's a much bigger deal. Because you can have the Marshals. So you could have a list of, like, you could have the theoretical double-crush Hydra.
Sure.
and you don't have to play it. In fact, you can swap the hydras in or out, or put them, as we said, like, if we can figure out how that particular aspect works. Or, and this is the big...
Battle Mage is FAU.
They are in that theme, or they're FA2. I can't remember.
I think it's three.
Three, okay. So here's the big one, is you can take Helios.
In, yeah.
And then you main deck
Helios,
and you main deck Helios, and then if they run into stuff like, say, Manowar Shock Troopers, or just random, or dwarves, or other random unpushable stuff, Helios gets safely evacuated to the ADR list, and then you swap it in with real heavies. I think that's the biggest one. Because Helios Ron, when it works, is just like...
Disgusting.
It's like Sex Panther. 70% of the time, it works every time. And then the other 30%, they have some random bullshit that says, no, you can't push me, or and no, you can't, like, you can't play around.
Well,
and then
got, like, 18 shield guards.
Or you got, like, 18 shield guards. And just like, you know what? Okay, Helios, well, like, you know, just... Move aside, here are some more crush hydras for your for your consumption. That is the big one I see from Ron. From Helena, Helena, I think you also can play in Forges. You can also play in Dawnguard theme as
Colin. I stand corrected, they are two. FA2.
FA2. Okay, fair
in
enough.
In theme?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
So the other thing...
Sad times.
So one...
It worked.
Yep. It does.
No, it did.
Yeah, you don't need more than two.
Yes. Generally, you don't. Helena, as said, is probably either Forges or the Sentinels theme. I think they have some arguments for running her in House Guard, but I don't think you do. Alara, so the real interesting one is basically who, if any, wants to run the Mage Hunter theme. And that might
be Alara.
It might be Alara, but she kind of really does.
She kind of does. Boundless Charge is good, but.
And that could be a problem, and might be a reason why you don't play it in ADR, because a lot of time you kind of need the Mage Hunter theme in order to deal with Kryx. It's their primary way that they fight Kryx, and that might be a reason you don't take this particular pair.
If you're playing it for the Kryx match, you could probably...
Speak up.
You could probably play it in Alara and get away with it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be good, though, in general Masters you couldn't.
Yeah.
Because if they're playing Ghost Fleet, they're playing it with a good caster for Ghost Fleet, not an ADR caster, and you're probably...
You probably don't take this in Masters. I don't think there's
anything... Well, I think you do if you want to try... If you basically have a different plan for Ghost Fleet, and let's be honest, the plan might be just to Ron them.
But I still don't think... Like, I don't think you get enough for Ron to make that worth it. You just play Ron and something else, right? Correct. Something that's not on this list.
You could just play Ron Assyria, let's be honest.
That seems much easier.
It's not a bad ADR, but I don't think they have...
It's not good enough to drag you in Masters. Yeah.
Right.
And Raven, I know Dylan tried to run Raven, and it was a case of, like, you could actually beat Ghost Fleet with Raven, that's fine. The problem is...
You can't beat anything else.
Yes.
Ha-ha!
Like, Raven versus Black Industries, you're like, oh, you have Carapace on your everything, and the things that don't have everything are stealth. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Alright.
Score!
Oh, dear, score.
We don't get cats.
Yeah, but we get a lot of.
You get lots of fun, people.
So we get Beastmaster Zakar again. Also, what is this artwork for a Supreme Badass Zal that makes him look like a Praetorian?
Yeah, well, it looks a bit weird, doesn't he?
He does. Alright.
Is he biting his own elbow?
He's trying.
I think he's trying to.
This shoulder guard.
I think this is a live action rendition of Zal casting Last Stand and trying to beat someone to death. And then him just going... Nah.
So we've got Zal, who I really like as a caster.
Supreme
I'm not sure that
badass Zal. Look, if there's one person I reckon who has Zal in school, yeah, it's sure. Supreme okay. Badass Zal.
No, isn't it Cyclone Guy?
No.
Naresh is pure style.
That's true. He's so style.
He's like, I'm going to get in the middle. I'm going to do all the arm and
check all this stuff I've got. Woo! I'm up there, boys. I'm up there.
I mean, I think Scorn actually has a lot of style.
They do. All the Morghulls are pretty much all style, too. Even
though
some
of them
are good.
A lot of them are actually competent now, which is sad.
Yeah, now, but they used to be all style.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then someone's like, shut the fuck up and get good.
So people like Jalam.
Yep.
Yeah, no. His beat's strong.
And people like Zadesh.
So Jalam is a lot like...
I think that's the pair.
Yeah.
From any...
Jalam Zadesh.
From the limited Scorn interactions I have, Jalam Zadesh seems to be the...
I don't necessarily agree, because I think Zal is in the equation. Like, Zal is in contention as well.
I only know he has Last Stand, and that's lovely.
Well, Zal has a lot of things. He's got Direct Spirits, which is very good against, like, matchups where Soul Collection is really
irrelevant.
His biggest
problem at the moment is Kovas is only really useful in one theme list.
Yeah, but you can just play him in that one theme list.
You can.
And it's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Jalam, like, that comes down to is basically how you want to play Zal and how he fits. Jalam and Zadesh can both play in the Imperial Warhost theme. And I guess you can also basically strike against whatever I just said regarding a Kovas and play Zal with the Cats theme. Although I do like Zadesh in the Cats theme as well, because, well, let's be honest, right?
Cats!
Defensive striking cats that are all up in your shit is just really fucking frustrating. Also, Zadesh can run a very good Venator's theme, because it turns out defense, like, feeding on those fucking battle engines is quite good.
Oh my god.
You've played against it, haven't you? Very recently, too.
No, I didn't play against that or Jalam. I played against fucking turtles, and I hate them.
Yep. Well, defensive striking turtles are a thing, and some ways they are the thing.
With knockdown.
Yeah, the knockdown. It's basically a fuck you if you don't have reach. And even if you do have reach, it's just still frustrating. So, big things with Scorn are you lose your Vent Masters of War kind of access, but you get sexy Jalam. And I think the biggest one you get for Scorn is the ability to swap in and out Krayers. Now, I know that Imperial Warhost gives you free Krayers, and that's fantastic and all, but sometimes a Krayer isn't actually any good for your list. But on the other hand, sometimes an Agonizer also isn't any good. Like, what the fuck's an Agonizer going to do into the Signar match? You'd want more Krayers. So, and that is where I see you doing a lot of the swaps. And if you want to play Imperial, if you want to play the Cataphract slash... Okay, fuck it, I'm not going to pretend Cataphracts are part of that thing. If you want to play the Kitty Cats theme, it's a lot about basically swapping in and out the beasts. Because sometimes you want the character, like, you want Tibbers. And then sometimes you want Tibbers broken up into multiple different things. Like, multiple lights, just because it's better for contesting. And you don't need something that's just going to get fucking one-rounded by skin and bones. Yeah, pretty much.
Be careful. If you put the lights too close together, it happens anyway.
Yes.
Though there's no child skin and bones in Champions to worry about.
True, but you don't always get to play in Champions. Jalam himself, I'm not going to really get into, because I don't know. He's too new. I haven't played against him.
I don't know if he's technically out. Even.
He's not out yet. As the recording of this cast, I would say he's probably out for Christmas. Jalam plays a lot like Fianna from everything I've seen, except he has a lot more like contribution over the course of a game. Deadeye is quite decent. He has Vanish, which means his personal output. He isn't as like fucking nuclear as Gaston can be, because let's be honest, no one can be quite as crazy like powerful as Gaston. But he does have Prey, he has Vanish, and he will contribute from a turn by turn. And more importantly, unlike Gaston, he has access to Animi, specifically Sprint. Not Sprint, fucking Snipe. That's the one.
That's a good Animus to have.
Yep. I think you can do another thing too is, I shouldn't actually dismiss Zakar, because Zakar has an important place, is that Zakar can be taken in the Paingiver theme. And Paingiver the theme does give you some cool things. Like swapping, being able, that theme is by far the most open of Scorn's themes. And
is that the one where you can take minions?
Yeah, that one. And being able to, like, fuck, you can swap a Dracodile in with Zakar.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
That's so fucking stupid.
Oh, shut up. It's just a Dracodile. It's fine.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep. Oh, for instance, like Chiron, which is Zakar's character. Basilisk is just not particularly good in some matchups, and then others he's just really fucking annoying, so when he's not good you just go, cool, please sit down, Titans, please enter the fray. So I think we'll move on from Scorn, because you could probably tell, also the fact that Colin has bailed to go talk with on the phone. Not many of us actually play Scorn and have played for a while. Also, a lot of these are very new things, new Scorn themes, new caster, a lot of just... honestly, it's also just not having to play against fucking cats all the time, which changes what we're used to. So we're going to talk about something we have a bit more experience with. And finishing off with, of course, the last place faction, the worst.
Yay!
Trolls.
Trolls.
All right, take it away. You're the actual person who plays Trolls. Well, theoretically.
I know, technically.
Well, better than me.
I think the ADR is not actually too bad. It's none of the casters I actually thought would be on it. I did not honestly expect Cult Grandma to be on it. So the four are Ragnar, Cult Grandma, Borka 2, and Grim 1. and I think they're all good, but I think the most stylish would probably have to be Borkatu.
Oh, yeah, shit, who's the stall cut? Oh,
no,
yeah.
It's Borkatu.
It's Borkatu.
Ragnar is the boring caster. He is feet armor!
Yep.
And that's strong, and in this he can take lots of different stuff, and I think you can switch out. He probably wants to play beasts. He could probably also play a semi-decent heroes. I think he could take
band like, of heroes.
Band of heroes, yeah. with the multi wound skew. I think it wouldn't be too bad. I don't think it reaches Madrak 1 levels, but I think it's worth maybe even trying just because it goes hard skew the other direction.
Yeah. Carl Grimmer can actually run a very similar list. And well, also yeah. run beasts.
I think she's the most flexible, and I think she's probably what I would consider the cornerstone of this.
I think so, and it's kind of strange.
You could use Ragnar, but I think Ragnar is very... He still has some matchups that people can break through.
Yeah.
Because he's very... He's a little one-dimensional. I mean, he has a lot of really cool defensive tech, and he's got a bit of a... He's got some aggressive tech, but he's pretty... He's not tricky at all. Grandma has some tricks. Grandma has some flair. Grandma's a cool girl. Oh, man.
Cool lady. Yes.
Those sprays are, like, fantastic. I think she can play in multiple different themes. A cloud wall is always good to have. Her feet is fantastic. And she plays well into guns. I think she can play well into infantry because you can play with positioning because they're all like, okay, I'm exactly out of your threat range and you can't come get me. And then you're just like, well, I'll put my models here. And he's like, oh, you're in. And then your feet. And then now they're out. And now you've got board presence where they didn't expect you to have it before. Their guns get shut off for a turn. Pathfinder gets shut off for a turn. Isle of Sight gets shut off for a turn. Those are all incredibly powerful in the right scenarios. Borkatu can play an interesting beast break. If you're planning to go into a heavy-on-heavy fight, Borkatu's feet can be incredibly powerful if they don't have... a really strong alpha.
Or an immunity way to get around his feet, like, you know, immunity.
Most people don't have immunity cold on heavies.
Yes.
Which is the matchup he prefers to play. Because with infantry, enough infantry hitting a warbeast will kill it.
Yeah.
And then even if they're all frozen, it's probably worth.
Yes.
Which like, is why he wants to play heavy on heavy games. Because that one he trades way better in. Because unlike most abilities that trigger on at the end of activation, X thing happens. His is... You hit me, you're frozen.
Yeah.
And that's really strong, which means unless they have a really, really strong alpha game, Borka has some pretty good tech into most other beast or jack heavy lists.
He still also gives stealth when he feats, right?
Yeah, he gives stealth when he feats. He got a few changes, and they're all really good.
Yeah, I remember he got a bunch of that. And they got Grim Angus, and I know Angus is in because his feat got fixed too.
So yes. If... Now you can't charge.
Yes.
His spell list is still decent. A negative. You can have up to a -5 defense swing, which can put some really interesting. Like if you play against Jalam and you actually manage to get your feet off, and then you get marked a target off on a unit that you want to kill, then even at -5 mat, even rolling one dice is effective.
Mm. Yes.
Just as an example.
Sure.
Yep. Like Grim Angus has always been a good caster. And with his feet fixed, or with his feet being fixed, he's now backed probably into an.
I actually think the other big thing is a rune bearer for him because his feet at 14 inches is way scarier.
Borka also loves the rune bearer because now he has a 12-inch control area.
Yes,
Colgrimma loves it because her feet's fucking 16 inches. Ragnar likes it just because who doesn't like having a bigger control area? <Yeah. laughs>
Correct.
Okay,
I think you could choose any of those four. And make pairings. I don't think that they have a bad caster on that.
So I think this is actually evidence that trolls going through a lot of quality of life changes because they're not actually as tied to a single caster carrying the team like they were previously. To Madrak 2.
I think Cold Grandma is the carry in that list. If I had to
think
choose one,
I think I'd agree.
And I'd have to say Borka's the style if I had to choose one.
He's on a bear.
And he likes to beat people up.
Like, and he has bombs. And he assaults you
but
with his bombs.
Yeah. I don't think either of them are strict roles. I think Ragnar could be...
I don't think anyone else can fill the honor bear role, to be honest. Pretty sure it's just him.
I think Ragnar could be a carry too, just because his armor skew can be that strong. And I think Grim Angus is just really flexible, so I think he's good into... Like, you could design him to play into lots of various matchups. because I think he plays well into heavies training, and I think he plays well into infantry, because -3 speed, no charges, and -3 defense is a really powerful feat, especially now that it's reaching 14 inches.
Yes.
Which means he gets to be even safer.
I think the big one is that Cold Grimmar is... No, to me, I actually agree with your original statement. I think Cold Grimmar is actually the best one here because she's completely different from every other Trollcaster. Because
she has Dark Power.
Yes, and Dark Power. Like
the greatest base rule to have.
Forget just awesome rule. Forget just Dark
on
Power.
On sprays.
Yes,
she has
sprays.
Size importance on sprays.
Yes.
Spray tens.
Yes. If you play against
Cold... That if she takes in the Beast stupid theme, she can...
Shoot out of Mog. And you just tell people you do that. You never actually
them,
do that.
You can make
no, you do, Chris.
Yeah,
she's so fun to play.
Fair enough.
I thought, and then you can make them +2 strength as well, right? Or does that not work on her?
What?
The
no, it does. Because she has a spray. So
spray.
She has a POW 14,
yeah,
RAT 7, signs important spray.
Yeah.
That she can shoot three times.
It's spray
10.
It is spray 10.
Also,
it's
she has
really,
affliction.
And it's crit stationary, Colin.
Feels good.
Do you remember
feels
crit
real
stationary?
Good. Feels real good.
Yes. So, and it's also stuff like her owl that randomly gives immunity to spells is just good. Like you
on
just,
the model, yeah.
You could just give it to
and
herself
dispel
half the time. Like, if, basically, it's like, oh, you're playing Denny One Ghost Fleet, and then... Even, they're like, oh, okay, I'm just going to, like, scourge and parasite you. And you're like, no, fuck off.
No, I think that
even
all
if that
four
gets...
of those... I think you can make a decent pairing with those four casters.
Yeah.
And I think Cold Grimmar is the one to carry it. But I think if you wanted to, you could play without her.
So I was...
But Cold Grimmar really does tempt me to play. Like, I have three factions that I would consider saying that I play.
Mm-hmm.
And Cold Grimmar brings
it's
trolls
to
in.
Make you back to trolls on her own.
But I mean, Sorsha with Old Witch as a pairing is the same.
Yeah, so what you want is Sorsha and Cold Grimmar.
Oh my god. And Finnegan is also just has a great ADR.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the two casters that I wanted to play, which is one of the reasons why I'm a little
bit. It's got Old Witch on it.
It is, but I could play Old Witch with Sorsha one.
Yes.
So that's why I'm a little drifty from Grimkin, which has been my like faction at the moment. But playing Cold Grimmar...
So you just take two armies to CanCon. Play one in Champs, one in Masters.
Maybe.
That's
maybe
what I'm doing, most
Cold
likely. Although someone else is driving me this year, so maybe not.
Mm.
Maybe
have you worked that out yet?
I don't know.
Okay, well, we should probably do that soon.
Yeah, we got time.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all the factions.
Yes. So
huzzah!
As you can probably tell, just closing, trolls can do ADR or champions, and I think you've got arguments for doing both.
I think you miss Madrak 2, but because he's Madrak 2, but I think...
But the thing is,
fine.
You've got Band of Heroes, so
and
you can
I
get the effect you really wanted from Madrak 2 anyway.
No,
I really...
It's not the same effect if you don't have steady
I miss
ground
Madrak.
Hell that spell
oh,
is.
You mean Madrak 1.
If
yeah.
Madrak 1 was on that list, I'd be so happy.
That spell is just not cool.
Which one?
Thus 2 death and no knockdown.
It's
five.
So good!
That is not cool.
Yeah.
God damn it, Pagani.
You fixed it a bit too good.
See, being
to be
able
fair,
take that in Masters and then take that in Champions would make me a happy man.
To be fair, though, Cold Grimmar actually runs a different different swinger. I think it actually, in a lot of cases,
yeah,
could
cool
be just as fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's different, right? Like, it's not
it's
as
fast
much.
But you actually get to feel like you're attacking, except
yes
you don't, because she blinds you.
So, like,
so no.
Kalandra is a no, and Madrak is a no, and Cold Grimmar's like a whatever, do what you want, I don't care, you're still going to die.
No, Cold Grimmar is
Power 14, RAT 7 spray.
Although I guess she's also got clouds, so
I'm
she can
gonna,
also be a no. She
no, I'm actually going to say that, no, Madrak and Kalandra lure you into the sense that you can play the game, because you
sure
get to roll dice. Whereas Cold Grimmar basically
she's
says, like,
a hard
no,
no,
and then
she's
no.
She's an old lady. She's just hard no.
Yes.
She's not...
I don't really have a response to that one. I think we might call that the episode title right there.
Yeah. All right.
That's too long.
Yeah. I think we have to reference Stahl at some point. But... Oh dear. Anyway. So finishing up, ADR basically, as said, has two different sides of the coin, and a lot of it comes down to pretty much how you whether it's a sacrifice to you to basically lose some of your ideal matchup fixes for 40 points of specialists. And in some factions, ironically, the trolls, for instance, because the armies are designed to be flexible and the casters are at a lower power level, that's much more attractive than, say, Kricks, where it's just like, what are these retards doing here? Because you need
we'll just bring more retards.
Because you're like, you needed the fair and balanced casters like Denny 1 and Scar 1 to make your good models into oppressively good models, yeah. Right? I mean, unless you want to troll people all day with, like, tough Wraith engines, and let's be honest, right, that is really actually quite tilting. In fact, I'm getting the twigs from it right now.
Yeah, double Wraith engine would be an annoying threat.
Yes. It doesn't even have to do anything. You just say, these Wraith engines have tough, and you just watch your opponents twitch. ADR tends to be better on, like, smaller factions, but even the big ones...
Because they get tough, we should get Dominate Undead back. I feel like...
That's appropriate, yeah. I need more Ancestor Wraith
Engine. I don't even know that spell exists anymore.
I don't think it does.
It does, actually.
It does?
It just doesn't work on Wraith Engine.
Alexia?
Alexia, I believe, still has it.
I mean, she doesn't see table anymore, so...
Well, she also can't cast it on Wraith Engines. If she could, then...
Yeah, I know, but you wouldn't see table
anymore.
Why
can't you cast on a Wraith Engine?
Because it specifically says it can't be taken over. It has inscrutable, or whatever the hell that rule is, that stops you from...
Presumably to stop you from taking it over.
Yeah, for that exact reason.
No,
yeah.
That's bullshit. If it gets tough, I get to take it over. That's how this works.
Is that for all models that get tough?
No. Just 18-point models.
Trolls, that's your whole faction. I'm just saying. 18-point models with tough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's...
Name another one. Exactly.
18 is a lot of points.
Yeah.
What's 18 points with tough?
Nothing.
Because the Wraith engine doesn't cost 18 points.
16? 17. I don't fucking care.
Isn't it like 13 or 15?
It's no, it's more than 13.
It's 15, right?
I want to say...
It better not be 15.
No, I'm pretty sure it's actually 15 because...
No, it is 15. It is 15 because it fits in ADR. It fits in the thing.
And you...
Whereas otherwise it couldn't.
The death knell is 13.
Yes. And gives plus 2 armor to everybody.
So, in all context, but it also doesn't hit or it is incorporeal.
Correct. Yours collects corpses and gives them to people.
Yes.
There you go.
I'm sorry, Colin. Your face can only be so great for long. Like, no. We're not trying to, like, use the death knell as justification for the fucking Wraith engine.
I actually don't remember if it is 15 or not.
It is 15.
It is definitely 15. I was pretty sure, but not certain.
All right.
My death knell is good. It's a support piece.
It can't be much cheaper. It could be 12. You probably couldn't
I'm not
10.
Saying that it
think
be
actually,
cheaper. It's good where it is. I think that your battle engine...
My battle engine... My battle engine costs 17 points and 16 points, depending on which one.
You mean the minion? Oh, you're trying to deflect the blame by becoming a minions player now. Yeah. I see how it is, Colin.
That is how it
is. The Wraith engine is undercosted.
Probably.
Okay, as long as we all agree.
I mean, if it was 16 points, you'd still play it.
Yeah,
it's aggressive.
If it was 17, you'd probably still play it. But you don't see many double Wraith engines.
I don't know, I've played against Scar double Wraith engine.
Yes,
that was disgusting.
That is literally the only caster that I know of that plays double Wraith engine.
And Terminus. It's good.
Terminus doesn't actually play double Wraith engine.
No, but the single one.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's okay.
It's okay.
If you make it through the feat turn, it's not good. If you don't make it through the feat turn, well, yes, it appears to be very good. But that's Scar 1 in a nutshell, right? Like,
yep.
If you have a way to get through the feat turn, then you can win the game. If you don't, well...
No, tough shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, on that somewhat depressing note...
She's like an old lady. She's a hard no.
No, disagree. Scar 1...
She is not an old lady.
No, disagree. She's more like a Zerg rusher. It's basically like you think you're playing the game and then the game's over. And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just like...
You're like, but I've only just set up my base.
And like, cool, your base is now on fire and all of these things are running around.
I feel like Scar is more of a yes girl. Because she's all just like, do you want to hit stuff? Yes. Do you want to kill stuff? Yes. Do you want to not die? Yes.
For a very limited time only? Yes.
That's fine.
Yes.
Did we win yet? No. Balls.
That's not something she says. That seems... Did we win it? Of course, yes.
Yes, we did, Capitan.
Yes, we did.
All right.
Would certainly call that a wrap. Is there anything anyone wants to talk about in finale regarding ADR in general?
I have one thing that I wanted to bring up. One of my little problems I've had with ADR, and it doesn't work with everybody, is just the fact that theme forces do limit your sideboard options, especially in some theme forces and some factions.
Yeah.
Like, so if you have a very deep, wide variety of beasts and jacks, like trolls loves just the idea of a sideboard, because they're always like, are you playing Sigmar? Storm trolls. Are you playing jacks? Slag Trolls! Are you playing Manoth? Pyre Trolls! And they're just like, oh my god. Yes. I can just tech for whatever. Yeah. And that's great. It's awesome. And then there's people who are like, Legion of Skill.
I guess the Destroyers become Marauders. Maybe.
Then there's Circle, and you're locked out of half of your beast with each thing.
Exactly.
So that's one of my problems, is that the theme forces do limit the actual...
Changes the way it interacts.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yep.
More some than others.
Not fairly for some factions, sort of.
Yeah. That actually is a big point, is it?
And then there's Mercs, because they're just like... Is it Cephalix? No? I don't care then!
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck you.
Well, actually, not quite, because basically any of their character themes, like Kingmaker, Lael, Hammerstrike... Actually, Hammerstrike, ironically, is one of the most open of the themes, but we'll get into that. Basically, like, Kingmaker and Lael have kind of limited sideboarding options. Yeah,
we did talk about Lael.
Yeah.
But I think Mercs in general, because they have the most open theme list.
When you can have Wrongeye and Snapjaw suddenly become a Siege Crawler, you're like, wait, how did that happen? But you're like, no, that's perfectly legit. You could have a Mercs theme. You could do what I said at the start of the cast, where you could have Orin Midwinter, and your entire Mercs sideboard is literally every possible solo that randomly has an out. So Victor Pendrake's there. Eyeless is there.
Yeah, with minions. A lot of Merc solos in there as well.
Doesn't Agreed. Minions like the fact that it can double... What's the Gator Battle Engine?
Vault.
Vault.
Can't it double vault into just infantry spam?
Yep.
It's like, I'm playing against Legion of Skill.
Yep.
Huh, this game's over. over.
Oh my god.
Do you have a Jax? Because I hope they can kill it.
It's so actually...
Call of the entire game is, I'm going to kill some Jax.
It's like...
Because nothing else matters.
I'm hoping you brought some cavalry, and I'm hoping you brought a lot of cavalry, because you're going to need to kill two of these fucking
guys. I guess that's one thing you can do, is you can sub out cavalry into Legion of Skill.
Yeah, that would be... And that's actually...
I didn't think about that, because they're Ulans, and I don't normally consider Ulans.
But that's a catch, right? Is that, and that's a weird thing that does happen, is a lot of it come... Like, a lot of the things, changes you think are small, actually have huge consequences. For instance, take Helena, double Sentinels. Sure, that seems like a thing you'd do. You could have in your sideboard then, instead of, like, sideboarding in Jax or something, you could have double Invictors. Because in some matchups, Sentinels are shit. They won't ever attack. And you're like... I just need guys with guns. Yeah, Widowmakers are fine for that.
Or Colgrima, because she's just like, you all have one box and no armor.
Or,
fun.
2 units of Vanguard with rockets.
Yeah.
Even they don't like to mess with Sentinels, because they're...
No, I just mean, like, if you have a list that doesn't actually have a range presence, but then sideboard is 2 full units with rockets.
Yeah.
And your opponent's like,
yeah.
Well, good thing he doesn't have... Oh,
I think Winter Guard is... Do they have ranged anti-range tech? Then you take all your rockets and Winter Guard out, and you're just like, jacks.
Or alternately.
And then vice versa.
So easily, right? So you have 2 battle engines and infantry with rockets.
Yeah.
And they're just interchangeable.
Yeah, ironically, I've actually seen and made lists of Winter Guard Command, which is just like 1 unit of rifles with Joe and all the rockets, and then 2 gun carriages. And I'm ashamed to say that it just not only does it perfectly fit with a, a artillery captain to fill out the remaining points, but you could have that as your ADR choice and then suddenly go from having 60 points worth of Winter Guard mans to having 20 points worth of Winter Guard mans and 2 battle engines and somehow being it still at full 3 points.
Yep.
And even changes on certain jacks, like the Victor, for instance, is not good in a lot of matchups, and then can be...
But the matchups it is...
You're just like, fuck, I need a Victor, so here it is.
Maybe ADR, even in themes, is deeper than I thought. I still feel there's limitations, but maybe
there's one of the reasons that it's actually deeper than it looks is...
By the way.
One of the reasons it's deeper than it looks is because you can actually avoid... So the main reason that your 75 points is typically so restricted is that you're trying so hard to get as many free solos as you possibly can. The last 40 points doesn't give a shit about free solos. And so even though when you build the list, you will probably lose a solo, you get the chance at the start of the game to evaluate whether or not
that
dropping a free solo in order to get more of the thing
strategic
that you
advantage or a counter to a...
Yeah.
As an example, Winter Guard, we'll go back to Winter Guard Command, for instance, right? One of the free solo packages one of the packages that I actually quite like is just a max unit of Kaiazi with UA.
Yep.
And you're like, cool, okay, you have, you know, a lot of people just are not prepared to have randomly run into Kaiazi assassins.
Yep.
And you'd be amazed just how many aren't.
Yep.
And you're like, I don't care if it breaks, like, I lose a mortar or whatever. Just like, cool, I'll take some Kaiazi.
Right,
and because, similar thing.
Or just eliminators. Just like, throw in some eliminators.
Yeah, if you don't have a way to deal with eliminators,
You're They're sad.
A freaking nightmare.
Yeah. And
just Def 17 as Def a general. 17.
Such a pain in the butt.
Yeah, it's just like...
You usually have to use either Jack or you have to use a heavy usually.
Or
to
blast or damage, caster. Or caster or whatever. Or a trick. Side note, Pagani, if you're listening, can I please get 2 units of Eliminators in any of the themes where I take Eliminators? Like that War Room bug, make it a feature, please. Thanks.
Alright, and on that note, let's draw this to a close. Do we have any final comments? Closing comments? Other than yeah, brah?
I'm actually excited to play it this time. I'm excited to actually have a chance to try Champions. Never yep. was really that yep. much of an option before. And I have 3 factions that are all telling me, yeah, let's do it.
Yep.
So now I just have to figure out which one of those factions I'm going to actually take to prom.
Yep.
And I'm excited to find out where I end up.
Look, Champions, I'll say, give it a shot. Honestly, it's a lot more fun than you think it is. And it's a lot more deep than you think it is, too, because there's a lot of weird head games that go on. It is easy to say, like, oh, yeah, all you're going to see is Convergence players with Axis and Orion, Teps all the way down. And then you're like, well, actually, yeah, but then everyone's aware of that fact, so they randomly bring all these things, and then they don't have anything to really deal with, like infantry spam, like Crick's infantry spam, and then the one random asshole with Terminus Ghost Fleet and Agathea Banes, or whatever, randomly whoops in and is just like, oh yeah. And you'd be like, that has almost no sense. That makes almost no sense, and yet somehow it's working because of the way limited formats work. It works in card games as well. Yep. Here it is.
Yeah, it's a lot of variance, and it's good fun. Breaks up the meta, gives you something new to think about, something new to try, gives you an excuse to play some of the casters that you wouldn't normally play.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is what I really like to see.
Yeah.
Which is why I like to see the style picks on there. Makes it good fun.
Yeah.
All right,
I think we're done here.
What was the most style pick?
The most style
pick. Last one.
I guess so.
So, I'm still going with... That's just because I've got a personal bias towards Ryze.
Okay, so we have Chromac 2.
Yeah. Siege 2.
I think Siege 2 is not as...
He's got a jetpack. He doesn't get any more stylish than a jetpack, let's be honest.
I think I'm going to... No. I brought Sturgis up Siege 2. Sturgis is
the style pick for Chris. Yeah. He always has been and always will be.
Vlad 3, Ryze.
I mean, he's got 2 weapons and they're both equally mismatched. Exactly. And he can teleport.
Neither of them makes sense. It's amazing.
Yeah, I guess it's Chromac. Between Chromac.
I'm down with Chromac.
Wait, how are you even defining style? Is style that
there is no definition for style. You can't pin it down. It's a thing you've got. You either have it or you don't.
All right, so then clearly it's Sorsha because she's not only the most stylish.
No, we've already established that she's too good.
I thought we couldn't pin down style.
You can't, but that clearly disqualifies her. Chromac 2. Nobody stands in a blood-strewn field of all of the remains of his shitty beast and roars his defiance until he dies miserably. Quite like Chromac 2.
Fair enough.
All right,
Chromac 2 takes the win. Sorry, Circle players.
And on that note...
To be fair, Colin almost sold me on Siege 2. So, it was at least a close run.
Yes. He does have a jetpack.
Very few people can boost themselves into untenable positions and die quite as effectively as him. Except for Chromac 1, interestingly. He's really good at doing exactly the same thing.
I think we're going to leave it there.
All right.
So, on that note, and sorry, Circle players, but...
That's not sorry. That's something to be proud of.
What, that you have
Chromac 2 with style.
On that note, good night. Thank you for listening.
Thank you all.
Buttons.